The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, February 8th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a flight heading to Philadelphia never took off because a flight crew member was taken into custody. An American Airlines pilot was arrested on suspicion of being intoxicated on a plane before it left England for Philadelphia. The 62-year-old man was detained Thursday morning at Manchester Airport after someone reported him to police. The flight was canceled and all passengers were rebooked onto a different flight. No word on whether the pilot was the captain or a first officer. American Airlines says that they are fully cooperating with police. A Berks County middle school is closed today after 12 people were sickened by carbon monoxide last night. The superintendent of the Fleetwood Area School District announced the closing on Twitter. There was a large police response to the Fleetwood Area Middle School as members of the community theater group began getting sick at about 8:30 yesterday evening while practicing for a play in the auditorium. At the time, authorities weren't sure what caused the illness and ultimately sent a dozen people to the hospital. But early Friday morning, it was confirmed that the cause was carbon monoxide. The tweet said the middle school will be closed today due to a carbon monoxide problem last evening. All other buildings will be operating on a regular schedule. Phone call notifications went out at 5:30 this morning. People in other parts of the building last night besides the auditorium did not become ill, officials say. A New Jersey man has been charged with sexually assaulting a teenage waitress, then starting a fight at his own wedding reception. 31-year-old...
This is a crazy story.
Yeah.
This idiot. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
31-year-old Matthew Amers of Willingboro was arrested on suspicion of a string of offenses, including indecent assault, indecent exposure, imprisonment of a minor, simple assault, and resisting arrest following the incident at his reception held at the Northampton Valley Country Club in November of 2018. Amer allegedly asked a teenager who was waitressing the event whether she would like to go outside and make out. The waitress told police Amers also propositioned her by suggesting that they could do whatever they want.
This is his wedding.
This was his wedding.
His wedding.
His wedding.
Just sworn.
Let's hear him out.
Yeah. You're right. Due process. Oh, my God.
So when she rejected his advances, he was accused of following the girl into the bathroom where he sexually assaulted her and exposed himself. He then offered her $100. She was able to escape and get out of the bathroom, but they said that she was really shaken up.
But more importantly, how's the happy couple doing these days?
Seriously. The reception continued as normal until police were later called to reports of a fight at the club. When officers arrived, they found Amers pushing and punching people. The fight is reported to have broken out after Amers became aggressive towards a club employee who told the groom that he couldn't bring alcohol outside the venue. Amers,
it's possible he's just not the marrying kind.
Yeah, is then accused of ignoring police and getting in a parked shuttle bus, prompting one officer to board the bus with a taser drawn. He then insulted the officer and tried to provoke a fight. He was then arrested following another brief struggle with police when he got off of the bus.
I think, now listen, this guy's obviously a creep and has some issues, but I think from time to time that there are people that will get married, both men and women, and on that day, they are essentially the king or queen of the world and can do whatever they want to. They've waited their entire life for this moment. Yes. And this day is all about me. I'm calling the shots. I am the boss. I will do what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, there's two things. And we should discuss this because I've seen that exact scenario play out, Preston. And there's also the people who feel the curtain coming down.
Mm-hmm.
On their singleness.
Yeah, true.
And it's there right in front of them, and they go nuts.
And they go to the waitress.
Curtain's down, dude.
No, I know.
It's not coming down.
Before I was getting married, people were saying to me, so you're going to, you're going to do some sign action? Like, do you think I committed to marry this woman because I'm still? No. Yeah. But people don't get it.
Hang on. So I got a text from somebody. He says, I went to high school with that guy. Real J-O.
Wow.
So,
So he was released from jail after posting the 10% of $350,000 bail. He's due to appear in court on February 21st to face the charges.
Kathy, how relieved were you? Because this happened in Bucks County. How relieved were you to find out
Bucks County?
Yeah, that he was from Willingboro,
Jersey. He just came to Bucks County to visit.
Well, he heard that was the place for him.
Yeah.
All right, in sports this morning.
sacks are yummy.
The Flyers' eight-game winning streak is over. Tyler Toffoli scored the clinching goal in the shootout to lead the LA Kings to a 3-2 win over the Flyers last night in South Philly. Adrian Kempe and Austin Wagner scored in regulation for the Kings, who won their third straight. Jake Voracek scored with 18.2 seconds left in regulation to send the game to overtime. The Flyers play the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. The Sixers have traded 2017 number one overall pick Markelle Fultz to the Orlando Magic. The Magic sent forward Jonathan Simmons, a protected 2020 first-round pick, and a 2019 second-round pick to the Sixers. Fultz has been sidelined since November 19th after being diagnosed with thoracic outlet syndrome, a condition that affects the nerve between the neck and the shoulder. The Sixers are in action tonight, and they'll host the Denver Nuggets at 7 o'clock. The Phillies and Marlins have reached a trade that sends all-star catcher JT Realmuto to the Phils, for catcher Jorge Alfaro, and pitching prospects Sixto Sanchez and Will Stewart. After months of negotiations with a half a dozen teams for the 27-year-old Realmuto, the Marlins finally dealt him to the Phils, who could still land one of the two biggest free agents left on the market, Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. And in sad news, Frank Robinson, the first African-American manager in Major League Baseball and the only player to win MVP in both leagues, has died at the age of 83. An outfielder and first baseman, Robinson was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1982 in his first year of eligibility. Robinson ranks 10th on the career home runs list with 586. He won the Triple Crown with the Baltimore Orioles in 1966 and became the first black manager in Major League Baseball history in 1975 with the Cleveland Indians. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Doing very well. The Friday element certainly helps a lot.
It does help quite a bit. I've been looking forward to Friday. And here we are on it. We're giving away our Word of the Week prize this week. If you're a Walking Dead fan, it returns Sunday, and you could end up on the set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta. We have a trip for two to give away, so listen up. That's at the end of the program, and I want you to stick around for the whole show and not miss out on your chance to win that. So we give that away today, which is a good thing. Guests stopping by today, we have a guy named Sam Morril, who's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight. Sam will be stopping in a little bit after 8 o'clock, so we'll spend some time with him. I know we have some other things that we need to make sure that we give away at some point during the program.
You know what? Can we start the giveaways early, Preston?
Start the giving early?
Yeah. I would love to start the giving early. How about some tickets to see Trevor Noah?
Oh.
There's a third show coming to the Met, and it's on May 3rd. And if you would like to go, we'll take caller number 19 at 215-263-WMMR. Do you remember that song, 19, Steve?
There's a couple of them.
About the Vietnam War? No, not
19 forever and
Steely Dan.
How does it go?
19, it's no, 19. You ever remember that?
It sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah,
it was. It was in the '80s. It was about the. It took sound bites from a news report that in World War II the average age of a soldier was 26.
Oh yes, yes.
In Vietnam, it was 19. No. It goes about how horrible Vietnam was. It was an interesting little novelty type of song.
I'm vaguely recalling it. Yeah. Because there were a few like that. Like Sunscreen was one. But or that became novelty hits, like the Song of the Green Beret or So, you know. So this is in that
Sunscreen.
Vein. Sunscreen. Remember that?
That was a huge, huge hit.
That was a spoken word hit song.
Oh, Marissa's looking for 19, right? I think it was it Paul Hardcastle who did that? Yep, she found it.
There you go.
Oh, my God. So caller number 19, you get some tickets. Case, I didn't finish with that. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Trevor Noah at the Met at May 3rd. It's a 10 p.m. show. Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. via themetphilly.com. A few tickets are made for the first two shows. The third show was added by popular demand, so we can set you up with that. Real quick, I will mention we have a few new Daily Rush videos while Marissa's getting the audio, so I want to give her a second to send it over. I think she is.
She is.
She's gone.
Yeah, well, so.
She's gone.
Let's peel back the curtain here, Preston.
Please do, please.
This little machine over here we call a Vox Pro doesn't work. She can't send audio from this Vox Pro, her Vox Pro, to our Vox Pro.
Oh, you mean 10 feet away?
Yeah. We've been asking to have this fixed. And
she's got
to
go down the hall. It just one day just stopped working, and you know.
And they haven't fixed it yet.
She can't just carry it in from that room over
there. No, unfortunately.
Can you just throw it to me?
Just put the audio in your hands.
Yeah.
Can you, and then bring it over here. And
She just chucked it to her.
It's a crazy setup, isn't it?
Anyhow, it's over.
As she's sending that over, we have a couple new Daily Rush videos. The Royal Panty Checker, the Pudding Guy, which is hilarious, and the Dude Likes to Drive are the names of the videos. So you can check them out at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly.
And there's a new one that, is it Steve? Pudding is that your guy. Name, the new video guy? I don't, is it Sean? Okay, Sean.
Yeah.
There's a new one that he's working on that is so good. I can't wait for you to see it.
He was telling me about it. It has to do with fish. I know that.
So he pulled me out of the studio. He goes, hey, I want you to check something out. And I went and watched it. And it's just so good.
All right, I'm going to play a little bit of 19.
This please.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war. But it wasn't.
I remember this.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
Hey, everybody. He was 19. It was when sampling first started to hit.
Oh, yeah.
In Vietnam, he was 19.
Yeah, so
there you go. Dang, Saigon. Everybody's going to have some fun.
Actually, it goes Vietnam, Saigon in the song. So anyhow, let's move on.
Saigon, Kong Kong. So one thing Nell could really master out there in the woods, your DJ skills.
Somebody needs to do that. They need to
Nell being tie. Weather long, don't wait. Wait.
When I hear that clip, I think, where a long, long wait? I hear, funk soul, brother, where a long, long wait.
Yeah,
funk soul, brother.
Zion Kong.
Now, wait, who did that song?
Fat Boy Slim.
Yes. That's it. Very good.
It's Friday.
Oh, dear God, it is. I'm sorry, one more time, Nell.
See, if it was on the other machine, I could do it.
Yeah.
Where y'all gone? What? I'm so ta-ta.
Dear God. So, it's going to be one of those days.
Yes.
And we hope that you stay with us this morning. You never know what might happen on days like this. Let's take a break. Come back. I'll have a stupid question for you. And we'll also get in some entertainment stories. Stay put. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Red, red, red. Is she seeing red? Well, she wants to this Valentine's Day. Give her one of Steven Singer's famous Valentine's Day red 24-karat gold dip roses starting at only $59 with free shipping. A gift that lasts a lifetime. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
For the stupid question this morning, I'm going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the 21st Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention, the biggest tattoo convention in the world.
Yeah.
Which will be here, by the way, February 15th through the 17th. So a Black History question for Black History Month. Willie O'Ree, had him here in the studio. What a gentleman. What an amazing man. The Jackie Robinson of hockey, first Black NHL player. When he debuted, what team did he play for? 215-263 WMMR. Willie O'Ree became the Jackie Robinson of hockey when he debuted for what team? Let's see if you know the answer to that. Call us right now. 215-263 WMMR. All right. So where is my... Oh, you know what?
Have you clips?
No, I got the wrong stack of stuff here. Birthdays today.
All right.
It is February 8th. Dave Phoenix Frell, he's the bassist for Linkin Park. He has his birthday today.
Talented guy.
42 years old. Yeah, still up in the air, but what exactly those guys are going to do.
I see no reason not to.
I see them continuing on. Chester was a huge part of that band, but they do have Mike Shinoda.
Multiple sounds.
And I think that they can definitely continue on. It'll just be a hard first step to do it without him. I don't think they need to replace him.
No.
But I think that the band will continue on. He's 42. Vince Neil's birthday as well. Yes, for Motley Crue. It's funny that you played this song. And I know we've talked about this before on MTV. What was where you Total Request Live? No, it wasn't Total Request Live.
TRL?
No, it was like Video Fights or something.
Oh, Friday
like
Night Video Fights?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't MTV.
Real House?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
That was totally MTV.
All right. then this was, whatever that was, this was the first song that they actually had to retire because it, kept,
it stayed so
it
long?
Kept winning so
wow.
much.
Wow. So we beat out because I remember Jump and the Reflex being big, big time yeah. Friday Night Video Fight Champions.
What an honor.
This one went on and on and on, and they eventually had to retire it, which this is, there's. Nice. I don't think there's any bigger hair ballad than this song, to be honest.
Look at this picture.
Because, oh, man. Pressing the video,
you
like,
to describe
really...
it? Hang on, he just mentioned a yeah, picture.
It is Vince Neil with a massive cut, looking like it. Actually, looking like the cat lady from The Simpsons.
Wow.
This video peeled back the curtain, if you recall. It was all, like, black and white, them on tour,
yeah.
backstage stuff.
Sure, you're
yeah.
seeing the real downside of traveling, the duress,
but
the lonely hours.
There is a part where a girl is on a guy's shoulders, and she lifts up her shirt
yeah.
right before the bibbies come out.
Uh-huh.
They cut away. And
that's a good part.
But that's why you knew you wanted to go to a Motley Crue concert.
Yes.
There is a really...
Women loved Motley Crue.
At the end of this song, there's a really, really nice guitar part that I like a lot.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Vince is 58 years old today at Motley Crue. It's also Seth Green's birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome Powers movies.
We've had him in the studio a few times. Actually, we had him in the studio for a movie called Up the Creek.
Yep.
Yeah, remember he hit on our intern.
He did.
I think her name was Sam.
Him. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I remember, yeah. Redhead?
Yeah.
No.
Different Sam.
Okay. The one with the raspy voice?
Yes, the yep. raspy voice,
raspy
yeah.
voice, sort of curly long hair.
Yeah,
she was a redhead.
Was she a
no.
redhead?
No.
Okay, never mind.
It doesn't matter. For God's sakes, people.
Sam, who ended up going to work for, like, Oprah or something later on, she had, is that the same one?
No, that's Stedman Graham.
Oh,
no, that
person.
Was the redhead.
Yes! And her name was Sam.
No, I don't know.
No,
I don't
she's
know.
Messing with you, Preston. Oh, I remember her being a brunette.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Curly brown hair.
Yeah.
No one cares.
She was so cute. Whatever happened to her?
She's working for Oprah.
She's
working for Oprah, and now she owns ABC.
We are off the rails.
I'm telling
Jesus
you.
Jesus Christ.
We had a redhead, short, curly redhead girl named Sam worked
I don't
for Oprah.
Think I was red.
Later on.
I'm the king of nonsense, and I can't take this.
I thought she was a redhead. Seth Green's a redhead.
Yes, he
Maybe
is.
Maybe that's where I'm getting yeah.
F him.
He's 45. John Grisham, the novelist, The Firm, The Pelican Brief, The Client, The Runaway Jury.
You ever read any of this stuff?
I did. I read The Client.
Yep.
And it was actually one of the first novels that I read. I think after I read Silence of the Lambs, and was one of my first sit down and read
right.
this book books. Not I was assigned to do it. I just wanted to do it. And The Client I read. And it was good. It wasn't amazing.
And the movies are pretty good. That
I wish I would have read The Firm. That was yeah. that was an interesting story. But anyhow, he's 64 years old.
He's got red hair, right?
He doesn't have red hair.
Dated one of our interns, I think.
Maybe that's what it
is. Got to start writing scripts for Oprah.
How about Nick Nolte celebrating a birthday today?
Oh, wow.
The great Nick Nolte.
How's he?
He's 78.
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
He's 78?
He seems older, right?
Well, I look younger, right? It's going to take a lot of medication to work out every day.
What's that?
What?
I take a lot of medication and I work out every day.
He takes a lot of medication and he works out every day.
Every day.
Uh-huh.
And I eat lots of Jenny Craig.
A lot of great movies. Cape Fear, 48 Hours. Tropic Thunder.
Oh, yeah. So good.
He's so good in that.
Yeah. He was gravelly and sort of grizzled when he was 19. He yeah. was, you know, you remember Rich Man, Poor Man?
I do remember
the miniseries.
That
That's the first time I ever saw him. And he was a heartthrob back then, like around the time of The Deep.
Steve, I just pulled up his IMDb. He's going to be in The Mandalorian, that live-action Disney Star
wow.
Wars movie.
Yeah,
so
wow.
he's got a role in something that's coming out next year.
Where's my goddamn lightsaber?
I love the beginning of Tropic Thunder, where Nick Nolte is the narrator.
Yeah.
And he sets up the story. It sounds very serious.
It it's sure like, does, you know, yeah.
So these many people died on this mission. And he's like, of those people that survived... Four of them optioned books for movies. One of them made it. This is about the men who tried to make that movie. And it's just hilarious. He's 78 today.
I love when his claws are exposed as fake claws. And he has hands.
I know. Ted Koppel has a birthday today.
Ted well. Koppel.
Former
wow,
host of Nightline. Yeah, Koppel. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have a turn.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, yeah, Ted, a couple.
Yeah, a couple.
He's
Couple.
Couple.
We haven't explored that in a while.
No, not in a long time.
Yeah, a couple.
We haven't beat that on the ground for a while.
It's been a long time.
A couple. His career had a nuclear boost with the Iranian hostage crisis.
That's why it was, that was
created Nightline.
Why Nightline was created, yeah. And then it was so well received that they decided to make it a regular feature.
I'm putting out a call to other terrorists to kidnap people as well.
He's 79. And then the last birthday today from the NBA, Alonzo Mourning.
Wow.
Yep, he is celebrating his 49th birthday today. So there you go. Those are your birthdays. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Where did I put it?
I don't know.
I got it.
Hell.
Where is it?
Willie O'Ree became the Jackie Robinson of hockey when he debuted for what team? That is the question. And I will go to Kevin, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how we doing, Preston?
Good, buddy. So what team did Willie O'Ree debut with?
The Boston Bruins.
That is correct.
Oh!
Boston. Hang on. Kevin, we have for you a four-pack of tickets to the 21st Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention, February 15th through the 17th, Pennsylvania Convention Center. Get tattooed on site by 1,500 of the world's best tattoo artists. Tickets are just $20. You can visit villainarts.com for information. Woody Allen has filed a $68 million lawsuit against Amazon Studios, claiming that the mega streamer backed out of a four-picture deal based on a baseless allegation that it was privy to prior to signing the contract with him. He claims that Amazon refused to release A Rainy Day in New York, despite it having been complete for 6 months. This is according to the suit. Amazon has tried to excuse its actions by referencing a 25-year-old baseless allegation against Mr. Allen, but that allegation was already well known to Amazon and the public before Amazon entered into four separate deals with Mr. Allen, and in any event, it does not provide a basis for Amazon to terminate the contract. There simply was no legitimate ground for Amazon to renege on its promises.
It's sort of weird because I'm all over the place on this. I've always been a huge Woody Allen fan, loved his earlier films and loved some of the later ones. But, you know, comedy wise, it helped me get started with the way I perceive comedy. But there's clearly creepy stuff associated with Woody Allen. And then you have Amazon who's like, you know, Ronan Farrow starts digging up this stuff again and circulating it back up. And they're like, well, what do we do? But legally, nothing has been.
All these allegations were already out there.
They're already out there.
When they signed the deal. So legally,
Woody Allen is in the right here. He's got a case.
You're either going to have to air this stuff or you're going to have to pay up, I think, is the way
it's
going to be.
That's it. Yeah. So, yes. So
whether they like it or not.
It wasn't like it was a big secret. What happened was is that it got stirred up again.
Yep. We'll see where this goes. Hey, Bill Cosby has been moved to the general population unit as serves his 3 to 10 years for sexual assault.
Surprise.
The 81-year-old spent 4 months in special housing as he was allowed to get used to prison life. So they were just letting him acclimate.
Okay. Got to get used to it. Got to get comfy cozy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to be either out of prison or on a block that's for elderly people, right?
You know what? Just Cosby on the block.
I'm not really sure. It's funny because as I drove into work this morning, there was SCI Phoenix, formerly Greaterford, all lit up in the morning sky.
And that's like, where he is.
He's right there.
Right there.
Yeah, so
Preston!
I drive right by
Preston!
And I was thinking about Bill as I was driving by.
Oh, that's how you live so close to the golf course!
Yes.
So he's still there.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I'm not sure when they plan on moving him out, Kathy, but...
How are those souffle pancakes?
Oh, he listens.
He listens, yeah.
And he can ask me these questions. A state prison rep says that Cosby has...
A couple.
He has his own cell. Prisoners are permitted to spend several hours a day in the gym or exercise yard, the library, class, or day room. Spokeswoman Amy Warden adds that Cosby has inmates assigned to help him as he is legally blind.
Yes, so he has these issues. I think eventually he'll probably be moved to another facility where they can accommodate his sight situation better.
Yeah.
I wonder. So you have some hardcore lifelong Cosby fans, maybe, I don't know, in the jail. Does he have a quasi-mild... I read Capone situation going on.
I read an article last week, Steve, that said he's immensely a popular person in prison.
I would imagine.
Probably.
Yeah, you know, Bill Cosby's in your... Guess who's coming?
And no matter what, it's still a celebrity. Yeah. I don't care if you're a prisoner or what, you know, or a guard. You know, it's Bill Cosby walking down the aisle at prison.
Gives you something to focus in on.
I got to believe also the elderly people that are in custody are probably somewhat... Like, if you were to go beating up on an old man, I have a feeling that some people might have an issue.
That's not going to get you points.
Yeah, but he's also a sexual predator, which I always thought was like...
More children. Like Jared. Jared from Subway was getting his ass kicked.
Well, obviously, I knew the children, but I thought sexual predators were also...
Not necessarily.
I don't know about that.
I haven't heard that, yeah.
Okay. Marissa, did you send over the audio of Robert De Niro? Okay, I don't see it.
She has to go running down to Ben, go on air, flick a few switches, and then come over here.
Wait, real quick, just back to Cosby for a second, because I'm looking at his criminal docket. He owes $76,000 in fines, and that's just for that last case, so not including the one before it.
Wow.
Okay. Where am I going to get that kind of money?
Maybe you can borrow it from Robert De Niro. He went into mean streets mode outside of court yesterday following a closed-door custody and divorce hearing. He and his estranged wife, Grace Hightower, splitting up after 20 years. They're fighting over the custody of their 7-year-old daughter.
It's not going well.
He was on the lookout for his missing driver outside of Manhattan Supreme Court. It's not going well?
Yeah, it looks like they're going to get contentious over the kids.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So he was outside. Basically, he was looking for his ride, and there were paparazzi.
Yeah.
And they got video of him, and because he wants to get out of there quickly. He knows that the press is going to be waiting for him.
Descend on him.
And his driver wasn't anywhere near where he was supposed to be. So he's standing outside. He's literally holding newspapers in front of his face.
Yes.
And so you get these bizarre pictures of him with these... He's holding this stuff.
It looks
up.
Like he has glaucoma. He's trying to read the headlines.
And this is him talking to his driver on the phone.
I don't care if they chase you away. You tell the officer that I'm away. What's the matter with you? Where are you? You're not in front. You're not where you dropped us off. On Worth Street, then you'd see all the photographers out here.
Where is Charlie? Who is
Seriously? You're not where you dropped us off.
Let's go back in the building.
I guess that's his lawyer saying, let's go back.
Let's go back. Yeah. I don't want to go back in the building.
God, it sounds like it was ripped right from a movie.
Yeah,
right?
It does.
Where are you?
Yeah. I first caught the clips this morning on the news, and I was like, I thought they were just taking clips from a movie. And we're playing it. But no.
I don't care if they chase you away. You tell the officer that I'm away. What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you?
That sounds like one of his lines from a movie.
What's the matter with you?
And then this.
Where are you?
Where are you? You know, the funny thing is, if you watch De Niro's earlier movies, he's nothing like that. I think he learned to be like that from the movies he was in, like Mean Streets. Because if you look at him in earlier films, he was a generic actor, not De Niro-esque at all.
Yeah, it doesn't work, Casey. Sorry.
You blew it!
Thank you.
There you go.
Where are you? You blew it!
All right. Anyhow,
you sick son of a bitch.
Imagine you're the driver, though. Yeah. You got to come around. You got like you just picked up a Wendy's shake or something.
Right. And here's hot-headed De Niro. Yeah, yeah. Imagine what conversation went on once he got inside.
You are so stupid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tourists were taking pictures of him mid freak out. He eventually went back inside. I don't know if he ever got his ride.
Who is Charlie? Where is he? Is this Charlie?
Yep. Do you know what I do, honestly? And we can do this as a thing. I know it can be painful going through a divorce like this, and apparently they're fighting over a 7-year-old that he and his soon-to-be ex-wife had together. But I could send him that crybaby head.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what the hell are you doing? I'm in a big baby head. You're stupid.
I will bring you down, baby.
I look like a crying baby. It's a huge baby head. Are you stupid? You got that, moron? The baby looks like it's a huge baby ball. You're stupid. It's impossible.
Look how awkward, though. They're playing video of it. Like, people
I am in
standing
no mood for this.
5 feet from him with their cell phones in his face.
Here's another savvy move. If you're an advertiser in the newspaper that he reads, just try to get your ad on the outside of the paper.
Yes.
So, you know,
right? It's a great idea.
There's a sale at Marshall's.
So anyhow, that continues. How about this? Friends alum Matthew Perry freaked out fans after he sent out a tweet saying that he got kicked out of therapy. No follow-up explanation was initially offered, and then some fans
seemed to think he was joking at first, tweeting, so things are going well. But as time wore on, no clarification was offered. Many became concerned about his health. The actor has long been vocal about his battles with addiction and depression.
Huh.
He but, owns or runs those recovery houses, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought, correct? In California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew
Perry.
Okay. No, I misheard. Okay.
Yeah. Thankfully, Perry did follow up with another tweet the next day, explaining that he was only kicked out for one reason. He said, "I'm back in therapy where I belong." Or, I'm sorry, he was only kicked out for one session. So I don't know why he got kicked out. But, yeah, Kath, I remember that. But I haven't seen anything about that in a long time.
Yeah.
About those
recovery centers. They were like higher end recovery centers.
Yes, yeah.
5 months ago, he revealed that he was facing an extended hospital stay following a surgery to repair a gastrointestinal perforation. So
Hasn't been going well for him. Yeah. You look at them and they rerun the Friends episodes all the time, and they're the height of their youth. Things have changed.
Okay, so he sold his addiction recovery facility.
All right.
Okay. Dwayne The Rock Johnson claims that he was the Academy's top choice for host of the 2019 Oscars, but he was unable to make it work with his filming schedule. Responding to a fan tweet that said that he should host, the 46-year-old responded, "Ah, mahalo, dude. I was their first choice to host this year, and my goal was to make it the most fun and entertaining Oscars ever. We all tried hard, but couldn't make it work since I'm shooting Jumanji." And, of course, ultimately, the Academy asked Kevin Hart to host, and we know what happened.
Yeah, that didn't work out well. And now they have a conga line of hosts who are going to, or presenters.
I imagine, though, and listen, I love Dwayne Johnson, and he has really turned into a fun and solid actor. But imagine, you know, you're Jeffrey Rush.
And
you're sitting in the Oscars.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, and you're watching a wrestler host the Oscars.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ric Flair. Yeah. And the winner is Roma. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Best Picture of the Year, The Iron Sheik.
But he probably would have been a good host, you know?
Oh, he's very charismatic.
Because he's used to standing in front of a huge crowd of people. And
we're still talking about Ric Flair?
Being on the mic. No, I'm talking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But Ric Flair?
Why not?
Who wouldn't want to see
start
that?
Small. Have him host the Golden Globes.
On the Ellen DeGeneres Show this week, Ellen presented a lucky family with $1 million.
Wow.
And I don't know much about this family. DeGeneres gave...
millionaires.
Gave the Daniels family... the funds, because as she said, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter how you're living paycheck to paycheck, you still want to pay it forward. You still help others. So I don't know. In my story here, didn't indicate who they were or why she felt that $1 million would be deserved.
Well, apparently the father, the dad in the family drives for Robert De Niro.
Oh.
So they believe he's now unemployed.
He's had a rough week.
Yeah,
yeah,
clearly he's... not in a good mood because of all the...
Where are you?
He was upset about that.
You're not in front. You're not where you dropped us off.
So he gets $1 million.
I know where you are. You're on the unemployment line.
48-year-old Sarah Silverman is opening up about a recent trip to the doctor's office, and she said things got a little weird. She said, "I have to get an ultrasound after my mammograms because I have dense breasts." And she said, insert joke here. And this radiologist, same man I had last year, I do not like him, and here is why. She said, he opened my gown and put gel on my breast and smeared it around with his bare hands. Then he started talking to me about my chest x-ray and was pontificating with my boobs just out and covered in gel and cold. And finally I said, hey, can we either talk about this when I'm dressed or while you're doing the ultrasound? I'm not comfortable with my breast out just shooting the S with you. She said, so he smears the gel on his hands and no gloves on. And when he glides the ultrasound wand thing over my breast, he drags his fingers on them and it bothers me. And again, as I told him last year, I said, hey, do you need to be touching me with your fingers? He said, no. And he pulled them off me and then added, I'd do that for balance. And I said, well, I believe in you and I think you can do this without your fingers on me. She ended the post by saying all women should speak up if they feel uncomfortable.
Wow.
In the
so
middle of
she had a bad experience with him last year.
That's what she said.
Yeah, why go back?
Why go back?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
She's got certainly enough money it's got, you feel so vulnerable when you're in any situation. Like when you're wearing a gown or anything. Mm-hmm. You just feel as susceptible as you can be.
And I don't know why. I know, you know, different women are comfortable with, you know, a female or a male, but like I don't know why you wouldn't just go to a female.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like all my doc, not, you know, the lady doctors are females. For me, that just was more comfortable. So if
whatever makes you comfortable is, and you need to be an advocate for yourself as a patient and seek out what makes you feel best.
And that where I had the mammogram done, it was all female workers.
Okay. It was Home Depot.
Would you feel comfortable, Kathy, with a gay gynecologist?
I actually saw a gay doctor because I had something that was going on anyway. And yes, he had to like lift up my shirt and
these babies are taboo.
No, I didn't feel comfortable with him.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
I'm okay with her going to social media with this, but I hope that she like went to the manager of, you know, of that hospital wing or wherever it was and say, yo, dude. This is not cool.
In the social media post, did she give anything that could lead to the identity of the guy who's the doctor?
No.
Okay.
It's a tech, by the way, not a doctor.
It's a radiologist.
But she but the point she's making with this is she said something right there and then to him.
Do it.
And she's saying if you feel uncomfortable in the moment, say something right now.
Sure. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day because you know, if you're getting occasionally when I've had situations where you are dealing with someone or you're getting a test or something, a medical test, and the person administering it is not somebody you like, you know, in the past, well, they, you know, they're being rude or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have to put up
you
with that.
You don't have to put up
You don't have to put up with that.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know somebody who had an issue with TSA, and it was woman-on-woman TSA, where they
I just watched one last night.
Well, so, and Press, I know that your wife usually gets pulled aside, and this particular
All the
woman,
time, we witnessed it, going over to London. She was pulled out of the line. And
oh, she was?
She was.
Yeah. Okay.
And Preston's sitting there, and he goes, it happens every time.
A lot of times, I just go, watch this.
she'll get pulled aside. I wonder why.
I don't know.
But this one particular woman that I'm talking about got pulled over by TSA, and it wasn't, it was downstairs.
Yeah, okay.
And there was.
And so it was a two-floor place.
It was a two-floor place.
No, I know
so
what you're
they
saying.
Were downstairs, and
they were checking below the belt.
Yeah.
Did entirely too much down there.
Wow.
Yes.
And she and felt like, very uncomfortable.
So much so that I can't even say what they did on the air because of FCC violations.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
like, what do you do? Because that's TSA.
You speak to someone,
right?
You can ask maybe for a supervisor or something like that. And it's
free flight.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's situational. So, but listen, speak
that's horrible.
Up. Bottom line is you want to speak up.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Two more quick stories. The Thailand's actress Elsa Pataky spoke to Ola USA.
Oh, now you're talking my language.
For their March
Thailand
issue,
and Ola.
For their March issue about her 2010 marriage to Chris Hemsworth, Thor, and the decisions they both made to balance work and family. That's Thor.
Yeah. It scared me.
I wanted to focus on my children, you said, because I already had worked a lot, reflecting on starting a family with Hemsworth. My husband was starting his career. It was his moment, and I wanted him to take advantage of work more. And we decided if we had children that I wanted to stay with them and enjoy them to the fullest. But that was my decision. It can be managed perfectly, as we see women do nowadays. So I didn't
She's
know,
beautiful.
I did not know that she had a career.
She did,
Before them. Of course, she's stunning. Yeah, most definitely.
That'd be a question.
One last story. Stephen King's Pet Sematary has been terrifying generations of readers and movie lovers, and now it's back. The first trailer for the 2019 iteration. I guess it must have shown up on TV because I saw it in the theaters like a week ago.
Yeah.
So I think it just made its debut on TV. Stars Jason Clarke and John Lithgow, landed on Thursday. The film will follow a couple and their two kids who relocate from Boston to Maine to discover a mysterious burial ground in the woods. It's a freaky story.
I like what I'm seeing. I hope they don't go too over the top, like effects-wise and things like that. Keep it the subtle story that it was. I thought the first movie had its moments. I thought it also had some incredibly stupid moments. And you know how you talk about how a kid actor can grate on you if it's not the right kid?
Right.
The little girl in that original Pet Sematary was annoying as F.
A little girl?
There was a boy and a girl. Gage was the boy, and they had a daughter. The daughter was character. Annoying.
Okay.
I hate to say it.
So, some movies are opening this weekend, and I'm going to bring you up to speed on what to expect at the box office.
Mm.
several movies opening this weekend. One of them is called The Prodigy. It's a horror film, and it's directed by Nicholas McCarthy. It stars Taylor Schilling, Jackson Robert Scott, Peter Mooney, and Colm Feore. And normally it tells you what it's about here, and it doesn't. So I'll just say it's a scary movie.
So
it's about a kid that has these bizarre abilities at a young age as far as being very, very, very intelligent. But something's not quite right about it.
It seems to be a potential possession story.
It's
your
standard scary little kid movie.
Yeah, and little kids can be scary.
Rated R, hour and 40 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes score 52%.
Not bad.
Also opening this weekend, What Men Want. It's a comedy directed by Adam Shankman. Stars Taraji P. Henson, Aldous Hodge, Richard Roundtree, who were both in our studio, Wendy McClendon Covey, and Tracy Morgan, amongst others. It's about a female sports agent, and she can hear men's thoughts and uses that new ability to turn the tables on her nasty colleagues. Rated R, hour and 57 minutes, and the Rotten Tomatoes score is 47 so far. Also opening this weekend, the Lego Movie 2, the second part. Animated family film directed by Mike Mitchell and Trisha Gumm, and lending their voices to the film are Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, Tiffany Haddish, Will Arnett, Nick Offerman, Allison Brie, Charlie Day, Maya Rudolph, Will Ferrell, Ben Schwartz, and Stephanie Beatrice.
Were you a fan of the original?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
This opens this weekend?
It does, and it is about Emmett is back. And tries to save his friends and defend Bricksburg from invaders from space. Rated PG, hour and 47 minutes long. Rotten Tomatoes score, 86%.
There you go.
That's a good advance word so far on that. And then the last movie opening this weekend is Cold Pursuit. It's an action thriller.
I drive a snowplow.
It's directed by Hans-Peter Molland. Liam Neeson stars along with Emmy Rossum, Michael Richardson, Michael Eklund, Tom Bateman, and Laura Dern. It's about a man who is out for vengeance against the drug dealers he believes killed his son.
The name of the movie is super cheesy, though.
Do you know what the deal is, though? This is actually based on, it's a remake. And the whole idea of it is that it's a sort of a black comedy, like a dark comedy.
Oh, really?
That is meant to be overly violent purposefully.
Like Machete?
Yeah, in that vein. Okay. So it's not like... you're not supposed to have the nail biter, you know, oh my, like in Taken, you know, you're buying emotionally. It's supposed to be a revenge movie of excess.
Okay. But in the original one, instead of a snowplow, this guy drove a duck boat. Right?
It was a duck boat, yeah.
Okay. I remember that.
Yeah.
So it's rated R.
And over there is where Larry Fine was born.
Oh, he was in Philly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. I had no idea.
The slices of pizza at Pizza are enormous.
Oh, he's talking about Lorenzo.
Yeah, yes, he just told you.
Okay. It's an hour and 58 minutes long.
Quick.
The Rotten Tomatoes score, 83%.
No way.
Yeah. I was not expecting that.
The reviews are very good because, again, it's... As you can see in some of the clips, he's very sociopathic in what he's doing. I think that accounts for his botched press tour this time. He was trying to explain it.
The original Taken was on yesterday. My son and I were watching it.
Great movie.
It is a great movie. It's just, you just want to, anyway, you just want to smack Famke Janssen because she's just like...
Are you kidding me?
Let her do what she wants. Blah, 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 blah,
you're so stupid, I can't take it.
I know.
Oh, you're so stupid.
What I like in that movie, though, besides the action, are the simple scenes and where he's engaging with the street pimp. And they're, you know, he's learning different things he has to know. Mm-hmm. He has a plan of attack. He talks about those specific sets of skills in the beginning, and you see him employ them.
Yeah.
The rest of the Takens are pretty stupid.
I wonder what his specific set of skills are as a snowplow driver.
I can clear snow for various highways and conduits and on and off ramps.
Even spread salt.
I can spread salt and displace the snow in a way that promotes safe driving.
A little
that seems unimpressive.
Yeah.
You got to understand, we're a Colombian drug cartel.
But how are you with displacing snow for the purpose of having traffic flow freely?
Imagine a Colombian drug cartel would be completely lost in the snow. I mean, that would be totally foreign to them. So.
All right. My snow.
Yeah. It's his world.
There's cocaine snow, but then there's snow. Oh, you get it.
Snow. All right. That opens this weekend. Let's do the clips, and I'm sure I'll have clips from these various films that I spoke about. However, we're going to talk about a show, One Day at a Time. Follows a multi-generational Cuban-American family living under the same roof as they each navigate life and discover their journey. In this clip, Isabella Gomez discusses the importance of her role in representing members of the LGBTQ community. Here we go.
I'm biased, but I really love the LGBTQ storyline. I had no idea how underrepresented they were and how lacking the representation that is on TV was for them. I always say, like, I didn't write Elena, and to be able to be the vessel and get to be that for somebody, it's insane.
Ah. Season 3 of One Day at a Time is now streaming on Netflix. Let's do the next clip. So this one is from The Lego Movie 2, the second part. The story of the Lego universe continues when the Duplo invaders turn Bricksburg into a post-apocalyptic wasteland. In this clip, Elizabeth Banks describes how this sequel takes awesome to a new level. Here we go.
Everything is Awesome was a huge hit from the last movie. I think we all loved being a part of that. This movie takes it so much further. There's more music, more people singing. We bring back the idea of Everything is Awesome. We explain where that song came from. You know, we just really explore music and being in a musical and what that means and how joyful it can be in this movie.
Yeah. Nick, can you see? I got to believe that Mark Mothersbaugh is doing the music again for Lego. He's the one that wrote Everything is Awesome from that. He's the lead singer of Devo, and he now has entered into the world. He did Thor Ragnarok.
Uh-huh.
So he's entered into that world, and I'm curious if he did this in the
It'd
Lego.
It'd be stupid
movie
to not have him.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly.
He's in a documentary I just watched a couple of weeks ago called, I believe it's called Score. And it talks about scoring for different movies, and they have a whole bunch of composers, and they have some great ones, and he's there as well.
I want to see that.
They got Garfunkel and Oates in this one. Lonely Island is back.
Oh, okay.
Beck has a song with Lonely Island. I'm looking for Mark Mothersbaugh, and I don't see him yet.
Okay.
But maybe I just haven't looked far
enough. I thought
he
did the entire score for the film.
I don't think you're looking hard enough.
Isn't Liam Neeson? Mothersbaugh. Liam Neeson's in the first Lego movie. He's the cop. He's good cop, bad cop.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. The Lego Movie 2, the second part, premieres in theaters today, by the way. So those are movies opening this weekend. That's my entertainment report for you, friends. We have several things going on this morning, and one of them happens to be Sam Morril is going to be popping by from Helium. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club this weekend. And we have lots of things to give away, including some Pro Flowers. I have a $50 gift card for you. Right now, we'll take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Be a Valentine's Day Pro with Pro Flowers. Visit proflowers.com. Click on the microphone. Enter the code STEVE to find beautiful arrangements starting at $24.99 plus shipping and handling. So caller number 18, we'll give you that now. 215-263-WMMR. We will be right back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
News. The record company. Fozzy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Before we get to the topic, I do want to remind you, Cardboard Classic is coming up on March 1st. And you know what? I got, actually, let me pull up an email because I got, somebody wanted a shout out, and it did have to do with Cardboard Classic. And you know what? Marissa, I printed it up. Can you grab it off of my printer there? I'm sorry. I want to make sure, since it's what we're talking about real quick. But Marissa has a Cardboard Classic pre-party today.
Where?
Noon to 2 at the Sprint store at 18th and Market Street.
Wow.
She is going to have lift tickets, knit hats, and Sprint prize packs every 15 minutes to give away today.
That's awesome.
And one VIP prize pack will be given away, and that's an overnight stay in the Poconos I'm not sure exactly where, but we'll find out. Dunkin' gift card, VIP access, and more.
That's awesome.
Is the VIP access in our little private area? Okay, so you'll be able to be in our viewing area.
You'll be able to hob our knobs.
For Cardboard Classic. A lot of hobnobbing going on.
A lot of hobnobbing, hom yankles, and yank hommels. What is that, a Jewish thing?
Cardboard Classic is March 1st. So, Marissa, today at the Sprint store, 18th and Market, which is perfect for her. She'll walk right over.
Yeah, right.
All right. And then I got this. It says, hey, Preston, can I get a shout out for good old Mother Nature for letting this Saturday be dry so that we can paint our Cardboard Classic sled?
Awesome.
And it says, inspired by Pierre, themed for Sarah, of course, a surprise for Kathy. So that's included in their sled. It says Bob and Glenn Olden, the cardboard building bitches.
All right, here you go.
Yep. So they're getting set, and they're gonna put paint on it on Saturday. So we're making our way there.
I'm sensing a lot of solid pre-planning and execution. I see a lot of people finishing up their sleds, getting ready. I think we're going to have a banner cardboard classic this year.
And hoping you know what? So. Thank you. Thank you for making this so much fun for us.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. You blow us away every year. Hey, and last year we actually almost literally blew away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, with the nor'easter.
With the nor'easter, that almost killed us all.
Video footage just came up of that, and you can see all of the...
No, that was a footage of Pierre smashing his face.
Oh, is that what that was? Yeah. Oh, and the smoke. Yeah. I thought that was snow. No, that's actually smoke from when Pierre wiped out on a double-decker sled. And I think that's when we decided we can't have double-decker sleds anymore.
Right, yeah, but Pierre launches from the... Boom!
Oh, man.
God bless him, man. He's a trooper. He got a little hurt.
He did. He banged his head. Yeah. I ran over with a flask to him right after that, and he took a big shot of whiskey.
You know, and you went over to him, pressing, and you knew he was out of it because I hate the Grateful Dead.
I know. It was an issue. Yeah. All right, anyhow, that's going to be a fun event. Casey's got an event tonight. It's a private affair.
Yeah.
At least it's not a Preston and Steve listener event, but it's kind of a big deal in your household.
It is, and I'm so excited because my wife, volunteered me. She volunteered me to be a chaperone at the 7th and 8th grade Valentine's Day dance.
Aw.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you happy?
No. So I would love to, that's how I want to spend my Friday night, is sitting in a dance hall making sure kids aren't making
out. Wait, is she going?
I don't think so.
Awesome.
No.
So she volunteered you. You're obviously being a little sarcastic. They're not something you're looking forward to, but is there's got to be a little element of joy to it, right?
No, I'm just kidding around. Yeah. No, this is really cool. And so listen, my daughter's in 7th grade, all right? I started going to dances in like 6th grade.
Okay.
All right? So this has turned into like a big deal. And this is like,
is this a date? Like, does somebody ask her?
No,
going
but
with a date?
She is getting dressed up. She got like a new dress, doing her hair, putting makeup on, got her nails done. Like,
do they
you
not
know.
Do that anymore? Because I remember 7th and 8th grade, we got asked to go to a dance.
You just go as a group.
Maybe that's it because you might feel a little bit if no one asks you. Yeah,
it's both. It's both. I'll speak from the public school perspective,
sure.
But it's both. You can take a date, but a lot of people
go
with friends or, as we used to call it, stag, you know, or whatever, but you go with buddies, so with stags.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of both, Kathy.
Okay.
But because my sons have been to dances, but without a date, and it's not odd. Like when I was in middle school, if you went by yourself, unless it was a dance where it's known, everybody just show up and we'll be at the school and we're having a party.
Right.
But for the most part, everybody went with a date.
Yeah, and you got, I mean, at least for me, you would get asked to go to the dance.
Your teacher would pick you up.
Stop it!
You ready to go, baby?
I hate you.
Hey, look, I put some Tinker Toys in the back. keep you occupied.
But, you know, obviously...
Brought a flask of Bosco.
Things change and things stay the same, but there are definitely some weird differences going into this one that I never experienced in any of my going to dances days.
And do tell.
One of those things is people are asking people to dance well ahead of time.
Oh.
To go to the dance?
No, actually, slow dance.
You're filling up your dance card ahead of the dance.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. To me, that's weird. But then there was another weird aspect that they have actually shelved. They've taken it off the table. And it's something that they've done in years past.
The killing of the pig.
And it's not a tradition in the sense that, like, oh, we've been doing this for years. But they have done this. I disagree with it. It's called they have a tie dance. And a shoe dance. So the tie dance is they throw all the boys' ties in the middle of a circle.
All right.
And then the girls pull the tie out, and whoever's tie it is.
Cute. I like that.
Yeah, I don't.
Why?
I don't. Because what if you pull a tie of a boy that you don't like and don't want to dance with? Or.
Yeah, but I like that more, and so nobody's left out.
You don't have to do it.
I don't know if. I don't know if you don't have to do it, but they're not.
You're running the thing. You make the rules.
But then also, Kathy, what ends up happening is they go, oh, okay, you're going to wear this. I'm going to pick your tie out. Oh, you're wearing those shoes.
Yeah, you're wearing
those shoes. I'm going to pick your shoes out.
Well, then there's your fail safe then.
And then you're essentially, you're making kids dance. I feel like, listen, if you don't want to dance with somebody, you don't ask them to dance with them. And if you do, you do.
Yeah, but
I understand the idea of the you're throwing them all into the thing. It's going to promote some interaction. But you're saying there are people who really want to be with people already planning to do it. So I think it all works out. Right?
I gotta believe that you're not forced to participate in that.
No, you can't
dance. You little bastards, dance.
They're not saying, look, if you don't put your tie in, then you have to leave right now.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't think it's that. But you know what? It's kind of a moot point anyway, because it's not happening at this dance.
Principal moot me, do you?
It's not happening at this dance, but anyway.
I'd like to make a point,
Mr. Moot. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but to me, that was weird because, like, listen, if you went to a dance and you didn't want to slow dance with somebody, you just didn't slow dance with somebody.
I don't think you're compelled to do anything. If it helps promote... God Almighty! So let me ask you: How is your daughter's level of nerves or her excitement?
She got
or,
a date?
No, nobody has any dates. But like the big thing is,
is she excited?
This isn't a date thing. This is get dressed up and go with your friends thing. So all the girls going to one. Hang on, all the girls are going to one girl's house because she's got a big staircase, and that's the big thing is going to get your staircase picture.
All right. So is she excited though about the part? Because the evening could move along with her dancing with some boys and having a good time.
Yes. She's very excited.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these things sometimes, and you guys have kids, I don't, but. Sometimes do parents tend to overthink these things and just let the kids have fun and let it kind of work out the way it's going to work out?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering.
So my wife is big on dances and making, and so.
That's why she's always dancing with the TSA agents.
No, she her theory is that I would hate for you 2 years later to tell the story about you didn't go to your prom or you didn't go to this dance. Even though they have no interest in going to the
dance. But didn't you not go to your prom?
No, I went to
the prom. Oh, you did?
I didn't go to my senior prom, no.
Do you like?
I was too busy selling meth.
Do you regret it or do you wish you had gone? Or do you not care?
No, I don't. It was my high school was, there was so, it was like, I think my graduating class was like 1,300 people. There were all other, I went to like other parties in lieu of the dance.
Right.
You know, and that I had a lot of fun.
I guess I'm glad I went. I don't look back and go, wow, prom was awesome. But at the time, I remember if I didn't go to prom, I was going to feel a little bit left out, especially in my senior year. I did go my junior year with a senior, believe it or not. It was her senior prom.
Wow.
She was a girl that wrote my term papers. Anyway.
Wait, you had an older girl write your term papers?
Yeah. She was a senior, I was a junior.
Hey, man, your hands are all calloused. What, have you been writing term papers?
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, at the time, I wanted to go to prom. But if I don't look back and go, I'm really glad I went to prom. You know what I mean?
Look at this picture.
I found a picture of me.
Wow.
This was, I think
Which
this
teacher
was,
is that?
I want to say ninth grade, maybe?
Yeah.
That teacher is young.
Look at
you and him and his eyebrows must have had a great night that night.
That's Pete. He had a unibrow for
So here's what you're not hearing. I'm getting some. Oh, no, you're not.
Yes, Steve, I think we had been friends a long time. He knew he wasn't getting any that night.
So did you have a good time?
Yeah, I always remember having a good time. I went to all of the dances with with a big group of friends. And so, yeah, I do always remember it as having a good time. I'm in the white dress.
A lovely young lady. So to this point, geez, it's what you hear Casey's daughter preparing for.
I
whole thing with the ties, does that seem to be an issue?
I remember it as being fun. No, I like the tie thing because I feel like then kids don't get left out.
Yeah, I think so. So you might.
I think it's cute.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think there's probably positive and negatives for the tie.
Would it be better if they threw room keys?
Now, the way I look at it, it's 3 minutes dancing together.
And dancing when you're that age is.
Oh my God.
Loitering.
I remember these dresses, though. Now I'm looking at these pictures. I remember going out shopping for the dresses and like loving my dresses.
Mother, I look like just like Lisa from the Cult Jam.
Stop it.
So I went to public school, and in sixth grade, we had this thing called Junior Capers. Didn't any of you guys have that? Mm-hmm. Junior Capers was basically a formal dance, and you learned dance steps. And the boys would be on one side of the room, and the girls would be on the other side of the room, and you had to wear a tie.
I remember one kid, the poor kid, had a clip-on, and some of the jerks in the class pulled the clip-on off. But it was pretty intimidating in sixth grade because you would literally be lined up on either side of the room waiting to dance with a girl on the other side. And this was sixth grade where some of the girls are starting to develop, and some of the boys, i.e. me, have not yet, you know? And so it's a weird, awkward phase of that age.
Dad, why don't I have breasts yet?
I meant
we need to have a talk.
Other stuff.
I like that sort of progression.
I mean, you wore a jacket and a tie, and it was you got dressed up, and in sixth grade, that was a big deal.
Yeah, listen, St. Kevin's had a dance every Friday night, so going to dances wasn't that big of a deal, and they don't. So St. Kevin's doesn't have their dance anymore.
Yeah,
and St. Kevin's was the place that you would go to. Like other schools tried.
Rocked.
Other schools tried to have dances. Like I went to OPH, we tried. St. Francis tried. Like, and they weren't as successful. St. Kevin's on a Friday night, there was a line to get in. The entire church basement was packed. It was awesome. You had a great time. You had your packs of schools, and we always had our one corner that we would go to, and then you would interact with the. So this wasn't, by the time we got to seventh and eighth grade, this wasn't a big deal.
That was the Catholic schools, because we had the same thing, Casey. Yeah. There was the Catholic school in our area would have the Friday night dance. We would all go to their dance, but ours was different. That was just show up, dance, go with a group of friends. Ours was, okay, ask a date to go.
I have a picture of me in my eighth grade formal.
Wait, let me see.
Me and Lori Seafried.
Wow.
White.
Yeah, I wore a white tuxedo.
I don't want you dating that Preston boy.
That's eighth grade?
That was eighth grade, yeah. Yeah. That was the eighth grade formal.
You look like a senior.
And Lori, man, did I get Lori. I got lucky with Lori. I mean, meaning that she went with me.
I got her mom, too.
I wish I would have gotten with
Lori. Lori, that's not how you please Preston. You do it like this.
Lori ended up being stunning, and I got very lucky that she said yes. We went as friends, unfortunately, because I had a total crush on her. But anyhow, she's a cool person. But that was... That was the first dance date I ever had.
So here's
in eighth grade.
Here's the difference with this, I think, Casey, is you're juxtaposed right up to Valentine's Day, which means it's a Valentine's Day dance, yes? Yep. So I think that's what that adds a little extra. My God.
That's high school.
Your son
in high school. Sorry.
Carter looks so you look that's Carter.
And then we also there were nightclubs around here that had preteen nights. So what is now known as Tom and Jerry's in Woodland used to be called Discovery, and Thursday nights at Discovery, it was preteen night, so you could go there.
The whole episode about Pulsations, right?
Pulsations, I believe, Sunday was for, birthday parties and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Purple Orchid.
Scooters, which is now the Barnabys on McDade Boulevard. That was another place. And that's where I learned how to dance,
You're a good dancer too.
Did you get taught dancing? Because Preston, did you have to do square dancing in school?
Of course,
we didn't do that.
It was part of gym.
It was part of goddamn gym.
Yes,
I'm there. I'm showing up. Hey, has anyone heard of basketball? The teacher comes in with the record player. I'm like, oh, here we go.
But here's the thing about that, Steve. I remember it lasting a couple of weeks, and the first couple of days, it was horrible. But it started getting competitive as the time went on, and we actually started because they would.
I'm going to do-si-do your ass off.
After a while, it got to be fun. It was bizarrely, at least to me, it was.
I remember though we had a gym teacher actually ended up in a relationship with one of the kids, which is a whole nother story.
Wow,
this guy was a lunatic. So he was a part pedophile and part Lee Ermey. So he would.
Oh Jesus.
Right, with a magic marker writing left and right on your hand. He's barking out square dancing commands to kids who are like, well, I'm sorry, I'm not from the Ozarks.
That's
here.
Not a good combo.
No.
Part pedophile.
No. But, I mean, all of my dancing I learned by watching, music videos and stuff like that. And, I think the best thing that ever happened to me was The Running Man. That was an easy, popular
Schwarzenegger movie?
No. Oh. That was the dance.
You're going to learn how to dance.
Yes. This is The Running Man.
Thank you for coming to the film early. Today we're going to show you how to dance.
Yeah. So The Running Man was a dance move. It's kind of like
called the caterpillar.
The kids with the floss and all that stuff that they do now. But I remember where I was where it finally clicked, moving my body to the beat of the music, and that was at Discovery. And I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Well, you could dance, and that makes a difference. But what for the kids who don't, I really didn't go to a lot of dances. I think maybe square dancing scarred me, but it's a rite of passage.
Did you guys have Sadie Hawkins dance?
No.
Yeah, we had them.
I never went to them.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's
a lot
where the
of
girl
times,
asks the guy.
Yeah.
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 Were you ever asked to a dance by a girl?
No. Okay. I didn't. I went to the Sadie Hawkins dance, but I didn't have a date.
I got asked to prom.
Did you?
Yeah. I told you guys the story a million times.
Jong.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
She's in Arizona right now, so I can tell the story.
She nailed somebody else on prom night. Wasn't that
Thanks,
nice?
Thanks, Nick. You convinced me to marry someone else.
Mm-hmm. Hang on. Let me go to Kathy on the phone line. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday. How are you guys?
Oh, happy Friday. We're good. What's up, Kathy?
So I grew up in Conshohocken, the number one town. And we had the Fellowship House, which was in the center of like three Catholic grade schools. So we had St. Mary's for the Polish people, we had St. Cardinals for the, you know, Italians, and then, of course, St. Max for us Irish cool people. We all had a dance at the Fellowship House, so we got to meet all of the hot kids from the other schools, and we all came together as a dance. We also had our grade school dances, which were boring, but we all came together at the Fellowship House, and then, you know...
So you had, like, inter-school dances?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
We never had that throughout all of my school. Never
well,
had.
That's what was, Kathy, were your school's girls' school only, or was it already?
No.
It was co-ed already. Okay. Because I remember in my band, we would play when the boy Catholic schools and the girl Catholic schools would come together for mixers.
Yeah, you'd play for them?
So we'd play those.
The Image?
Yeah.
Really?
We'd play those things, yeah. Which were a lot of
fun,
actually.
Like, the Irish, so we all came together. Like, I mean, the schools were small. Like, St. Matt's had, like, 24. Yeah. St. Mary's had, like, maybe 10. So it was cool because you got to meet, you know, the Dagos, you got to meet the Polacks, and then you had us.
Wonderful names, yeah.
Those were the churches. It was the Italian church, it was the Polish church.
Yeah. Did she say Polacks?
And Dagos.
Yeah.
Is that the actual name of the school?
It's a different time in 2019.
Yeah. It is a different time. Uh-huh.
Where can my daughter go to meet some nice Dagos?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I would refrain from using that.
Kathy.
I'm going to say Mick because I'm Irish. I got to cover myself.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it.
I remember like feeling.
It's just great to keep kids segregated. You know, by country of origin. You don't want a mixing.
I remember feeling safe going to St. Kevin's dances, and a buddy of mine who lived in Prospect Park. He was going to a dance at the VFW in Norwood. He was like, "Yo, come to this dance." And I went, and I was so scared that I was going to get in a fight. I was in like seventh grade. I don't know why.
Where were you in, son?
What? Hey,
I saw small soldiers.
Marissa just brought in a good question.
All right.
What was the final song? Okay. That they would play, and you don't have to remember a specific dance like prom or anything like that, but what would have been the last song played of the night? I remember I was only in fifth grade, mind you, and I went to...
The mixed school.
I went to 4-H camp, and they had a nightclub in the evening for the kids to come and dance and mix and everything. And so I remember, there's a girl, she was so cute, and I wanted to ask her to dance. I was too afraid, still, you know, that haunts me to this day.
Yeah.
And so I was waiting for a slow song, and they played, and I was going to go ask her to dance. And so the last song that was played, and granted, this was 1978, something like that, and or 1979, and it was Last Dance from Donna Summer.
Oh, sure. Really?
Yeah. Yes.
But the thing about Last Dance is about one quarter of the way through the song, it hits a disco beat and turns into an up-tempo thing.
Picks
so
up.
By the time I'm walking over to the girl to go and ask her to slow dance, so let's dance, the last dance.
Ah, damn it, I missed it.
And then you have to turn around and go back to your chair.
Yeah, exactly, dancing on my way back.
There were two that I remember. Stairway would creep up a lot, which is also a weird one to end with because it starts off slow. And then
we ride on down the road.
But especially at and Marissa and I went to this summer camp called Camp Taqua, and we would have dances at summer camp, and it would always end with Stairway there, which was odd. And then, prom theme was Wonderful Tonight, Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
And that's what it would end with.
Nick, somebody was wondering if it was We've Got Tonight by Bob Seger.
That was the prom I had in my basement by myself.
That was for frat parties.
Yeah.
Here's Last Dance from Donna Summer.
Yep.
I love it.
This is still good at the end of a party.
I still like this song. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a magical night.
A lot of people are texting in Stairway.
Really?
Yeah. That was never the last one for us, but that was always in there. And remember, the girl I went to school with made out with her dance for the entire length of Stairway to Heaven.
God.
The entire song. I won't say her name on the air.
7-minute long song.
It's a good run.
And the next song, and I can't remember what the next song was, but Stairway to Heaven was like, dude, and I'm not going to say her name, but like she and the entire, so I think the entire makeout session was almost like 15 minutes of straight French kissing.
Yeah. Because it was the live version from Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
That's what you did back then. You kissed as long as you possibly could.
This was the last dance song for us. If you guys remember this one.
Let's hear it.
All right.
This one's called At This Moment.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Vera and the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Beaters. Yeah. That's definitely a good last song. You'd think I would say at this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Remember this, Kathy?
This ended up in an episode of Family Ties.
Yes, they did.
If we could have the boys and the girls on the tour, please.
It was a heartbreaking moment. Alex didn't know if he was going to stay with, what's her name?
Courtney Cox.
No. Tracy Pollan.
Tracy Pollan, yeah.
Yeah, and they ended up with Courtney Cox a few seasons later.
Okay.
It was, like, so sad.
It was so sad!
Okay.
Oh, and everyone was in love with this song until they actually saw Billy Vera.
All right, let me go to a few calls. I have Jennifer on the line. Hey, Jennifer, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay. It's all right, Jennifer. What was the last song of your dance?
That always and forever. Always and forever. Yeah, that's all.
Forever.
Yeah.
It's scattered. Always and forever.
Wait a minute. Who did that song? You would have to sing it.
James Ingram or?
No. It's a chick.
Wolf Blitzer.
I'm thinking of All Cried Out. Damn it.
Yeah, that was another one. Yeah.
All Cried Out. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer.
All Cried Out.
Appreciate
it. All right. Bye.
Let me go next to Kara. Hi, Kara. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, Kara. So is this your prom you're talking about or just a standard dance at school?
It was my eighth grade formal.
Oh, okay.
And it was One More Night.
One More Night.
Yeah, Phil Collins.
It's a good song. Yeah, Phil Collins probably has a couple of dance closers.
Were you dancing with someone when that song came on?
Yes. A boy who it was a date to our eighth grade dance, and he came with a black eye.
With a black eye or a black guy?
I'm Moses Malone.
A black eye.
Okay. I thought she said a black guy.
So did I.
Is that Joe Frazier?
I'm like, okay.
Then he did. He goes.
I like to dance.
Yeah.
I came with the black.
What's happening today?
I don't know.
This is the most racial dance segment we've ever had.
We're breaking down barriers.
Yes.
Let me go to...
I came with a Swede.
Christy. Hi, Christy.
Hey, guys.
Hey. So tell us about your dance and the final song. What would it have been?
It was actually a dance I went to with my youth group. Okay. I was like 16, and I never danced with a guy. It was the last song, and I wanted to dance with him, so I asked him to dance, and it was Kissed by a Rose from Seal.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's
I love that song.
In the 1990s, early 1990s.
That's from Batman Forever. Yeah.
I'll always remember that song now.
That's a pretty good one.
Yep. That's, okay. Thank you, Christy. Appreciate that.
How about the bat dance from the original Batman movie?
Batman. let's go to Maureen. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So what would have been the last song of the night for you at your dance?
Our last song at our eighth grade dances was always Nights in White Satin.
Nights in White Satin? Yeah, a bunch of eight.
Yeah,
how old are you?
Breathe deep the gathering gloom.
Right.
Watch lights fade from every room.
Maureen, what did you do in the poetic portion of that song?
Bathroom break.
Sway back and forth.
They'd start crying.
Yeah, the nuns were watching us, so we just had our arms on each other's shoulders.
Bedsitter people look back and lament.
What's he say?
Interesting. Maureen, did you kiss anybody that night?
Oh, that's so long ago, I don't even remember.
All right. Well, thanks for your call.
That means
enough. We appreciate it.
We did like the, you know, the butt hold. Like if you were dating.
What did you do?
You said the butthole.
Butthole.
No. Oh, my God.
We would do the butthole.
You know, when the black guys came.
At the end of...
It's going on.
Everybody.
Do the butthole. Everybody, now it's time to do the stuff with your butts.
You guys.
We're talking about backside stuff.
Casey nearly spit out all the soup.
I don't understand why he choked on.
In the punch bowls, we have a whole bunch of lubricant. This should make it easier.
Oh, my God, Kathy.
Do we have the hustle anywhere?
Yes.
Do the butt hold.
Hold. I said hold.
Not what it sounds like.
One more butt.
You guys were advanced.
We did. Butts in white set.
Do the butthole.
Oh, my God. The youngsters are really enjoying their buttholes.
Do the butthole. Do the butthole. Okay, so you do the butthole.
I mean, never mind at this point.
Oh.
No, yes, where the if you were dating the guy you were dancing with, you know, the guy would put his
time
hand
to do the butthole now.
To the butthole.
And who's up for some old-fashioned finger blasting?
So wait a minute. Explain to me what the butthole is.
It's your it,
yes, hang on, the I hands would be, instead of on the waist, they would just slide down a little bit and hold the girl's butt.
Grab the butt. Okay.
Were you constantly under the watchful eye of a proctor or somebody who was...
There was always teachers there, but I don't think it was as strict.
They couldn't see everything, right?
It wasn't as strict as the nuns watching at those dances. Well, seriously.
But that's why the St. Kevin's dances were so great, because they were so crowded that, like, all right, you can't...
I'm too tired to worry about your buttholes.
You can't watch everybody. And so people, I mean, if you remember Revenge of the Nerds, remember Booger?
Yeah.
At the the Lambda House?
Yes, yes.
I mean, sometimes the butthole...
It was that bad.
Was that bad.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm going to go to Craig.
Hey, what's up, bro?
We're getting out of the butthole, Craig, and we're moving on to you. What's up, buddy?
Oh, God.
So I was at four or five different proms at different schools, but mine in Quakertown, 1988, was Never Say Goodbye by Bon Jovi.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a standard.
That's a good power ballad right there. Never say goodbye. Never say goodbye, yeah. All right.
Now everyone, thanks, cup Craig. Each other's buttholes.
All right, see you, man.
It's funny when you're in this point in your life, that music raises it to a, he's right, this is the most magical night ever.
It can.
You
it
know, so and you don't realize you have, God willing, many decades left.
What's the process to get that audio as quickly as possible? Because I need to hear Kathy say that again.
It's 15 minutes. Well, Preston would have to turn off all the mics real quick.
Okay.
You know what, Preston, why don't you...
we'll just do it in the break. How's that?
What? What?
I'll turn off all the mics.
You turn off all the... Why is this...
Does it only take a moment?
It's only going to take a moment. And, right. And
3 seconds, she says. Ladies and gentlemen, just pause for 3 seconds and think about the butthole.
Love me your own special way. Melt all my heart.
Okay, that ought to do it.
Thank you.
What were we just listening to?
So it's always in forever.
If it was a TV and the graphic would pop up, you would see a hand-drawn proctologist working on someone's butt.
All right.
One moment, please.
All right, this was Luther Vandross. Luther.
Ah, right.
That guy was a great singer. Hang on, let me go to a couple other calls here. I'm going to go to... all right, Lauren's been on hold for a little while. Hi there, Lauren.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, we're talking about final song of your dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would it be?
My last song was that country song, I Got Friends in Low Places.
Oh, Garth Brooks, right?
Blamed it all
Is that
on
Garth
my
Brooks?
Roots.
Yeah.
Showed it up was... in boots, ruined oh your black tie affair.
Yeah, that was it.
And yeah, it starts off like a ballad, and then it turns Everybody raise your beards up.
I got my hands all over your butthole.
I got hands all over your butthole. Wow. All right. Thank you, Lauren.
Oh, my God.
Cause I got friends all over your butthole. Where the whiskey brown. My blue away.
And
your butthole's okay.
Yes, it is. All right, let me go to Ken. Hi, Ken. Good morning. Ken?
I think he had a heart attack.
All right, we lost him. He was going to say Stairway to Heaven.
Okay, like others.
How about Eric? Hi, Eric. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Eric? What song would you like to add to our collection?
I seem to recall Careless Whisper.
Oh, yes, of course. Wham.
Yeah.
Wham. Wham. That's a good one. That's nice and slow. Yeah.
I hate that song.
But Guilty Feet have got no rhythm. So if you saw Bad Dancers, then they were...
Okay. Can somebody explain to me what that means? Does that mean anything?
Guilty Feet have no rhythm?
Yeah.
It's filling out the lyric requirements of the melody.
Okay. No, it says, I'm never going to dance again. Guilty Feet have got no rhythm. So the guy was, I think, cheating on her. And...
I submit to you and to the court that this man's feet have guilt written all over them.
And so he can't dance again. I don't know. It's a metaphor.
That's it for rats.
I'm going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, man. What's up, guys? Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right. So the last song to play at the dance?
The one I always remember was Casey and JoJo. Mm-hmm. All my life, I've found someone like you.
I know that.
I don't know that one.
And I thank God that I finally found you.
I know another one that's I've waited all my life for you. Wrong song, though, right?
No.
Different song.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're thinking of Happy Birthday.
My ex-girlfriend's father arrested Casey and JoJo.
Thanks,
really?
Chris.
Would he have a vendetta against them?
No, they
were bringing them in.
Pot in their car.
What?
Yeah.
Are they a local? Were they local?
Yeah. This happened, I guess, in North Jersey, so Teaneck, New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm bringing them in.
All right. That's his claim to fame. He's got it on a little plaque.
Bounty hunt, Casey. We got to get Walker on this. I'm going after Donnie and Marie. I only arrest singing duos.
All right, we got to wrap this up shortly. I'm going to go to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Melissa. What was that closing song at the dance?
Open Arms by Journey.
Now, well, that's got to be
that's the ultimate,
the paramount, right?
Yeah.
Even well, the song has lived on again and had many rebirths. Is it still a popular song to play?
Probably not.
I mean, it's. I don't wonder if it's so classic that it's, you know, because now that you have a whole bunch of younger kids listening to Queen.
Yeah.
Did Journey make the jump?
I don't think it's translated.
No.
I mean,
even during the butthole days?
Nah, you know what it has is Don't Stop Believin'. I think the younger generation know that song, but Open Arms.
Yes, you're right, probably.
So now I come to you with open arms. I mean, that was the ballad right there.
All right, don't get too close. The Italians and the Polish, please stay apart the way we intended it.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. I wonder what'll be the closing song tonight, Casey. If you were to guess.
Okay.
Are you excited?
Whatever. Listen, I just hope that they have a TV in there so I can watch the Sixers game.
Are you going to suggest a closing song?
No. It's like I'm going to be like a ninja. I'm not even going to be in. You know what I mean? I don't want my presence known whatsoever.
Wow, you're gonna have zero purpose tonight. Then aren't you? I mean, what as a chaperone are you supposed to do? Have they given you your duties?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He's supposed to make sure they're not doing the butthole.
Yeah.
Do the butthole.
I actually.
What?
So my daughter, I want to say it was earlier this week. It's the first time in her life where she basically said, "You embarrass me." And I was like, "Whoa!" Oh.
You're your oldest,
yeah.
And do you remember what was the cause of that embarrassment?
It was, you know, what was weird was it basically started with a compliment. Oh, my friends like you; they think you're funny,
but I don't.
Yeah, and she said you're annoying, man. And I was like,
"Oh, that cuts."
And
deep.
This was like, this was unprompted.
It was a church.
This was unprompted. I was just simply driving her to play practice or something like that, and I was like, "Oh man!" Like it stung. It stung.
I haven't had it said to me. It has been clear by body language that mm-hmm. Dad. Mm-mm. Not now.
By the boys or?
By the boys, because they're old enough. Caroline's almost here. I told you, you know, like.
That's going to kill you.
Giving me a kiss in front of her friends is, that ain't happening anymore. But whatever, you know.
And then I think she realized it. Like, she hurt my feelings. And she's like, I'm just messing with you. And I'm like,
no, you're not. No, you're not. By the way, we're setting up a Lyft account for you so you can go to all your...
It's a whole different topic, Kathy.
It's a whole different topic, but I mean, my dad didn't care that I said that, and he continued to embarrass me my entire childhood. Yep.
Maybe that made him even more... his mission was on point now.
Oh, well, yeah. And now
you little bitch.
But now that I look back at it, I find it hilarious.
No. He's obviously a great guy.
Maybe it'll be a great night, Case. You'll have to give us a report on that next week.
I wish I could,
Film it?
No. You were asking about the last song. I'm like, man, I'm just not hip right now. I don't know.
You are, but you'd pick something a little bit. You'd probably pick something. Who knows?
I don't know what the current ballads would be that would be a good closing song.
Maybe like something, an Ed Sheeran song or something?
An Ed Sheeran song. Yeah, that'd be up there.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe Ariana Grande. All right. Yeah.
Anyhow, thank you for the calls. We appreciate it. We have got to take a break. We've overstayed our welcome. It's almost 8 o'clock.
Oh, my hell.
I know. We should probably come right back and get into the B-file. So we'll do that very thing. We'll return shortly. Make sure you stay with us, all right?
Here we go. Here comes the MM Army. What's going
on? Join Marissa Magnata Friday from noon till 2 at the Sprint store at 1760 Market Street in Center City. Check out Sprint's phones on super fast and affordable plans at great prices. And enter to win a VIP package at MMR's Cardboard Classic, including lift tickets and an overnight stay. Saturday at noon, Nick McElwain rocks Cupid's Undie Run, the nation's largest underwear run and pantless party for charity at World Cafe Live in University City. 100% of net proceeds fund research through the Children's Tumor Foundation. For details and registration link, click events at WMMR.com. Join Jackie Bam Bam Saturday from noon till 2 at the Sprint store at 300 Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey. Enter to win a VIP package at MMR's Cardboard Classic. Hang with the MM Army Saturday from 5 to 7 before the Philadelphia Wings take on the Colorado Mammoth. Celebrate your sweetheart during the Valentine's Day game.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Let's do the Bizarre File.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Yeah. All right, we begin with one of a Rikers prison inmate.
Mm-hmm.
Came up with an especially devious way to get back at dear old mom for not posting his bail. What he would do was repeatedly send the cops to her home by reporting phony crimes there.
So swatting them, basically.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Inmates are not allowed to call 911.
Yeah.
But James Truell did a little bit of an end runaround in the system. He would call the city's 311 complaint hotline and spin such tales of mayhem that the operators would transfer him over to 911.
That's pretty smart.
It is pretty smart.
You should use those smarts to do something that's legal.
His mom, Christine Black, said the police came over 30 times.
30 wow. times. Because mom would refuse to post bail.
She said they came guns drawn with all their armor up. He said someone was stabbed. Another time someone had a gun. Another time it was people selling drugs. She said he thought that we weren't trying hard enough to help him. And I told him, we don't have the money.
Yeah.
Truell stitched up his mom while cooling his heels on $250,000 bail at Rikers, awaiting a trial for 5 armed robberies.
I'm sorry, dude. You're going to have to wait.
Yeah, exactly. So the suspect was arrested by detectives from the 103rd Precinct and charged Tuesday with 31 counts of filing a false report and 31 counts of reckless endangerment in connection with the phony emergency report.
So, and they can't not go if they get a call.
Yeah, yeah.
No, if they're going to respond. So do they put him in a smaller cell within his cell?
That's good. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to extend his stay there for sure. So he's facing more charges. The Ontario Provincial Police won't be laying any charges after 2 elderly women were involved in a physical altercation over a chair on Tuesday afternoon during bingo. Officers,
when you're old, those chairs mean a lot.
Yeah, officers were called to investigate an assault at a long-term care facility. When they arrived, the officers learned that there had been a physical dispute between a 79-year-old and an 86-year-old over a certain seat that they both wanted to sit in during bingo. I'll bet you that got ugly, man.
Oh, absolutely. Around bingo time?
The dispute led to a loud argument, which prompted some other residents in the room to become involved in the brawl. There were no serious injuries in it.
That's like cutting in line for sponge cake.
Yeah, totally. You don't do
it. You son of a bitch!
A 26-year-old man was arrested Monday for jumping on the moving Amtrak train in California while he was under the influence. He also is accused of trying to manipulate train controls and activating the train whistle more than once.
I want to hear the whistle.
Dylan Thomas Baldini was taken into custody.
Oh, my God.
The deputies had responded to a radio call. They were joined by officers from the California Highway Patrol. Baldini allegedly jumped on board the train's backup engine. He was reportedly acting hostile, and that crew members feared for their safety and did not approach the suspect.
I'm in charge of the train.
while haphazardly handling the controls to the train.
Yeah.
He tried to pull the train emergency stop mode, which would have endangered everyone on board.
You think those controls would be a little more difficult to get to?
An officer finally detained Baldini. He was charged with public intoxication and trespassing on railroad property and interfering and hindering the safe and efficient operation of a locomotive, railway car, or train. A Provo, Utah man is sharing how he was able to fight off a burglar with nothing but a barbecue tool. Landon Lettingham was watching his parents' house while his family was on vacation when he caught the would-be thief in the act and chased after him. He said, "I was really just angry that he would have the audacity to break in our house and steal our stuff, and I just wanted him to stop. It was just after midnight, and Landon thought that he was the only one in the house until he heard footsteps upstairs." He said, "I thought, okay, I think someone's in the house." So Landon grabbed the first thing he saw, a long barbecue fork.
I thought that was going to be it, yes.
I said,
wise maneuver.
He said, "As I turned, that's when I saw the figure go. The burglar ran for the back door. He chose flight and I chose fight," he said. "I saw him run down the steps, so I pursued him down the steps. We both slipped in the mud a little bit here, and then his shoes flew off, and I took off after him this way."
So I grabbed my Kiss the Chef apron.
Landon was quickly closing in, but the burglar jumped over a fence, breaking it in the process. Landon followed, but the next fence, the man didn't even try to jump. He said, "When he hit the fence over there and smashed through it, I was like, holy cow."
Holy cow!
On the other side of the fence, Landon tackled the man to the ground. While they were wrestling, the burglar got a hold of that barbecue fork. He said, "I got flipped, and then he started pushing into it into my chest, the fork."
Wow.
"When I started feeling it going to my chest, I kicked him off," and that's when he started running into the woods over there. That's the last that Landon
over saw. Over there by the fountain over there.
The Landon saw the man. Police are now investigating the incident.
Could have gotten killed.
In England, a driver who swerved to, quote, avoid an octopus before crashing has been arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated.
They've got a big problem with street octopus.
Yep. Police were called where they found a vehicle upside down in a ditch. The 49-year-old driver was checked over by paramedics before being arrested. Officers who tweeted about the incident said they found no evidence of an octopus on the road.
Wasn't that the excuse that they're sitting on for Prince Philip? Wasn't
it? Might have been. Octopuses.
Oh, dear God, it's an octopus.
Octopuses are not unheard of in the seas off the south coast of England, but this particular cephalopod would have to have had to crawl more than 5 kilometers over hills and fields to find itself in the path of a car on the A381. The man was arrested on suspicion of driving while unfit through drugs or drink and has been released under investigation pending further inquiries. And we'll just wrap it up right
yes.
there. That's what I got for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Got more stories. We'll share those a little bit later on. This morning, as we are taking a break, let's give away some beverages. I got beer, Yards Love Stout, a case of it. It's almost Valentine's Day, and that means love. Yards Love Stout, of course. We'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Creamy, rich, and satisfying. It's the perfect thing to bring to the one you love. Look for Yards Love Stout at Ulysses American Gastropub in Wilmington. Bring love, bring Yards. Be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.
Our next guest is so loved in Philadelphia that he has not only has shows tonight and tomorrow, but show on Sunday.
Sunday.
Tomorrow is sold out.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You better get your tickets now. Sam Morrell is
Yay!
Here.
Yay!
Hey, Sam, how you
when
doing?
When you said so loved in Philadelphia, I was like, who? All
right,
that
sure.
Can't be
well,
me.
You're selling tickets. Maybe yeah, they got yes. a special or super-duper cheap tickets. Nah, they love you, man.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, no problem. It's nice to have you back.
Good to be here, man.
You were on Conan this week?
Yeah.
How did that go? Was that fun?
That was good. I was in L.A. I hate L.A. so much.
Really?
Yeah. I was at the Comedy Store.
The Legendary Comedy Store, yeah.
Yeah, it's a yeah. really cool club, but I was on some show, and it was, it's like they have no host, so each comic brings up the next comic. So Kevin Nealon is on before me, you know, from, like, SNL, Kevin mm-hmm. Nealon. And,
he's great, yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. It's funny. I've worked with him before. This is why this is even more disheartening, is he's on before me, and he's like, your next comedian, you've seen him from his Netflix special, from his podcast. give it up for Chris Titus. And I'm just back there like, what? That's not me. And then a waitress is like, no, it's not him. It's Sam Morrell. And he just goes, who? And it gets a huge laugh.
Oh, man.
I was like,
man,
that shouldn't have gotten that big a laugh. No, right there. And then he brings me up. And then I go on and kind of dig out of that hole. And then I bring on Donnell Rawlings, you know, from like Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to bring, and I give him this big intro. I'm like, I'm going to give him a really nice intro. He seems like a nice guy. And then I bring him up and he's just not there. I was like, this is a mess.
Why,
like,
why are they doing it that way?
I think, well, I think Donnell's a different story. I think he was like in high out back or something.
But I mean, the standard thing is to have a, is to have an MC, an opener, you know.
I think it's just, I think they normally have one, but I think it's just like a, it was like a different show.
A different
there.
Show that night. All right.
Was Chris Titus anywhere to be had?
No. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lenny Bruce.
Right.
You know, it, but it is, and you know, working for as a comic and doing as well as you have for a long time, I don't care how good you are, you have like a misstep introduction or something that throws the room off a little bit, and it will screw things up.
Yeah, it can be. You never know. I mean, like, I followed Jean-Claude Van Damme on Conan, so you're like, oh, this isn't exactly the perfect intro for what I do. But
it's the new half-hour version of Conan.
Yeah.
Now, it seems to be the same. He's doing a lot more out and about, you know, traveling around stuff and those kind of segments. But did it feel different, or is it?
No, it's always really nice there. It's like, it's so laid back. Every other late night show is like, don't say, like, every word has to be exactly that. On Conan, I'm like, can I open with this new dick joke? And they're like, sure.
He loves you. He loves you. Right?
Why not? They're so laid back.
Yeah. So here in Philadelphia, our comedy club is it's different. You know, you get a, you get you, and then you get like an opener, a feature guy, and so you know what you're getting. But like when you're in New York City or in L.A., you're doing these spots. So, like, how much time are you doing up on stage? And I'm going to ask you a personal question you don't have to answer. How much time? How much time do you do, like, at, like, a Comedy Store or
that's
something?
That's hilarious that's the personal
question. No. That one's coming next.
We don't want to offend you.
That one's coming next.
How much material
how much time?
You
have? Probably at the store, I think it was, like, 10 or 15 minutes, probably.
All right. So what kind of money do you get for a 10, 15-minute set?
Boy, I think in Comedy Store they gave me like $100 or something. I don't
know.
Okay, you're at the comedy when you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're doing it. You're doing it to like.
Yeah, you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it to work on stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You'll get top level comedians like when comedians do you know an appearance on Conan or something.
Yeah.
It's for scale, right?
Yeah, you don't get real money to do a spot.
Sam, I got to point out one of your tweets that you had the other day, though, that said, no reasonable career choice pays in drink tickets.
Yeah, you know what?
I would imagine you get as well, right?
Yeah, they're like, do you want a drink ticket? And so there's a point of your career where you're like, you're damn right I do. You know? You think I'm going to come here just for free? I'm going to drink what I should have been paid.
Do you take all this? Because I for a while I did stand up and there was a lot of fond memories of stuff that wasn't so fond when it was actually going on.
Yeah.
Do you accrue those?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. I even now in the moment I have a better attitude about stuff because you know it at the time sometimes you're like what the hell is my life and then you look back and you're like well I'm glad I work for you know a crazy alcoholic racist club owner because where the hell else am I going to see that again you know
it's exactly
like there was this guy
it's almost precious
yeah he's right. Like almost like well you're like out of place in time. This is fun. Like this guy Bobby in Tampa. I still play his club all the time.
Oh, you've mentioned this guy. Yeah.
Bobby Jewell. He's the funniest.
Yeah.
He's like I go there every year and every time this guy's just hammered. He's like 58 and he just kills a bottle of whiskey and he's like, you pussy, you can't keep up. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to kill myself. You know, like
you got into, was he the one you kind of got into it? You were telling us a story about somebody who was really, maybe it's this guy, because I think you'd mentioned him and that he's real difficult to work with, right?
No, he's not really difficult. Okay. It's just, he's like a kind of a fun, he's a classic drunk where he's like, he'll trash you for like a good hour and then he's like, give me a hug.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you can tell people are like, they had a horrible childhood by how many hugs they need as like a, as a drunk, you know?
Yeah,
because that's where it comes out.
Yeah. They, but you try to get you. They try to work that thing like, well, you know, I'm not, you know, and I never tolerate that. You know,
it's kind of funny. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I know what you mean, but it's also like this guy is one of the. He's like that. He's like a sitcom drunk, where it's not even like where like he'll just walk in to the bar and pause, like he expects applause when he walks in. It's like that level of drunk.
That's funny.
Sam, you tweeted out the other day about Fat Jew stealing some of your material, and we talked over the last week or so about Fat Jew and F. Jerry, and there's been this blowback over the last week plus, especially from comedians. There was the hashtag of F. Jerry.
Yeah.
What was stolen from you, and what was the response?
Well, I had two things stolen. I had that porn joke stolen, and I wouldn't have been as – I know jokes get taken all the time. But he had just taken Michael Che's joke about Che used to have a joke that was really funny about how some people are against bacon for religious reasons, and he said, I'm against religion for bacon reasons.
Right.
And that was like an old Michael Che joke, and it was like verbatim, then mine was like verbatim, and I emailed him, and he – because I knew someone who knew him. And he didn't write back, but he pulled the joke. So to me, that's an admission of guilt.
What if they take the material and give credit? Because there are these amalgamators.
I'm totally cool with that. Okay. There's this guy, Tank Sinatra, who's the man. I love Tank. And he's like one of those guys. But he goes, like these other guys, like Fat Jew, they want to be known as like geniuses. So they go out of their way to take the name
and
out.
And they try to come across as content creators. Years ago, there was a site that Ebaum's World or something like that. They got in trouble all the time for putting up stuff. You know, listen. You give credit, that's cool, but this is your livelihood.
And also the cool thing, like I remember Tank posted one of my bits, and like he's like, follow this guy, he's working really hard. I mean, like there are people that support you, and then there's people that are just thieves, you know.
Yeah.
Like these, like Fat Jew is like Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street, but it's intellectual property, and he's fat and ugly, so and gross looking. But no, these guys make a ton of money. It's messed up. And I remember there's another bit they took. I think they just watch late night sets and poke, because like why not,
and just pilfer.
So yeah, I had a bit about how obsessed with my phone I am, and how I can't. Like, I can't have conversations with people.
Right.
Just, like, without wanting to reach for my phone. So, like, I wish when people were telling you stories, you could tap their face, like, in a YouTube video. And it would tell you how much time is left. And it was another bit they jacked. And I was like, they're just taking my material.
Yeah.
So, but, you know.
I wonder what the shelf life is for accounts like that. Because it seems like eventually it's going to catch up with them. And maybe over the last 2 weeks or so, it started to catch up.
I don't know. I mean, I think most people don't care about the author of a joke. You know, that's just the sad truth.
It's the truth, yeah.
You know what, though? Have we ever really seen an account that has, like, millions of subscribers eventually erode away to nothing? I don't know if that ever even happens, because some people just lazily hang on to follows.
Well,
you would have to actively unfollow. It's not like you just you discontinue the service. Yeah. It's just lays inert.
There's I follow that Black Panther guy, and he posts so much stuff, and I'm like, man, I'm tired of this guy. But then, like, I don't know, every eighth or ninth video or photo, I'm like, well, that's kind of cool, so maybe I'll hang on to him for a second. So, and I think this is so new that we haven't gotten there yet.
Well, most people are dumb, though. People were talking about F. Jerry because of that fire fest. And
right,
look how dumb people are to be involved in that festival. I mean, you have to be island for the first time ever. Yeah, let's do it.
Did you watch there's the two documentaries. Did you watch either of them?
I saw the Netflix one, though. Like, you got to watch the Hulu one. I'm like, how much of my time do I have to give to this stupid fest? Like, we all have to be like investigative journalists now. We can't just watch a movie without. Right. They're like, well, you have to see the Hulu one. And then there was some of like, there's a third one. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, the Hulu one, I watched both this week because I got obsessed with it. But the Hulu one actually goes after F. Jerry a little bit, too. The Netflix one was, I guess, produced in concert with their marketing firm, with F. Jerry. And so the second one actually kind of goes after them and their what they did wrong as a part of the whole Fire Festival. To me, it was fascinating stuff.
Maybe I'll watch it. That's how easy I just got sold on it. Yeah, no, I mean, how many of these murder docs do I need to, like, Staircase? I'm like, 15 hours of my life, why not?
Well, did you watch Murder Mountain yet?
No, is that good?
It is.
It's real.
Murder Mountain.
Shout out to all these
serial killers, you know, for all this great content. you keep killing, we'll keep watching.
Oh, my God. I like to say. Well, Sam, years ago, you'd have to, like, you know, I would read these books. I remember the first time I read Helter Skelter, and they were drips and drabs. Now it's just an embarrassment of riches if you're a serial killer fan.
Well, this is what they wanted,
yes,
right?
You're satisfying.
In the Ted Bundy one, he was like, just tell my story. And you're like, what?
That's when I stopped watching.
And have Zac Efron play me.
Yeah.
Do you see how bad that movie looks, though?
We were talking about the trailer. My take is, and I was just reading a couple of reviews, it seems to be playing sort of jocular with the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? And is that the impression you got?
I spoke to somebody who was at Sundance and saw it and said it comes off that way in the trailer, but the movie is a different. It's more about him manipulating the system and how he was able to pull the wool over a lot of people's eyes. So it may seem that way because in the trailer, he's coming off as his charismatic camouflage that he was putting on.
Well, because you remember NBC had a series. David Duchovny was on it for a while, and it was basically sort of the Manson story. And it was just Charles Manson, but it was
so
like
funny. Why is David Duchovny having sex in every scene? You're like, it's in his contract. He has to.
But it was like hot Charles Manson. They had this guy who was like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It's a little annoying. I mean, even in the Zac Efron, the trailer, he like takes his shirt off. I'm like, I shouldn't be watching the Ted Bundy story and being like, great abs. Look at that.
The guy was a little brutal. Are you fascinated by any of that at all, though?
Yeah, of course. It's interesting. I mean, it's also before DNA, which, like, Jesus Christ. It was like being a white basketball player in the 50s. White guys were just killing it. I don't know how you had to just solve it by just using, like, reading facial expressions, I guess. I don't know how you solve crime.
Look at those guys who did the due diligence years ago.
and those
guys who are just amazing. But, I mean, you know, the wealth, that's what amazes me too. When someone gets away with something these days, how do you do it?
Those guys, you're almost like, well, you earned it.
You deserve a Netflix.
No, but it's I don't know how they did it. And there's so many murderers where you're like, I don't know. And then Ted Bundy was like, they're always, every part of the first episode, like, he was really handsome and charming. And you're like, throw a negative adjective.
Well, so, I mean, but
even Netflix, in case you're sorry, just joking, Netflix had to issue and tweet it out.
I saw that.
Yeah, there's some people on our roster of talent who haven't committed serial murder.
But that's what, I mean, that's what's been going on, not in documentaries, but in just regular entertainment, is that they turn the bad guy into the good guy. You know, like Dexter, you're rooting for him to kill people.
Well, his killings are kind of, at least, though, that kind of
just. He's killing killers,
he's killing bad people,
right? Yeah, but do you remember the episode where he got the wrong guy?
No.
All right, well, he killed the wrong person. He killed an innocent guy.
Who's
no
perfect?
But, hey, man, if you're the baseball player, you're a hell of an average, you know? So, gotta look at it that way.
Yeah, so you have an off day. We can only forget
man,
it.
All right, but Inside Man, you know, that's the other one where, like, there's bank robbers and you're rooting against the FBI. You want this guy to rob the bank.
Well, that's like the heist movie. You're always rooting for the guy who's robbing them. And banks are kind of evil anyway, right? I mean,
yes.
I don't know.
You root for Danny Ocean against the casino.
Yeah, well, yeah. Andy, all you have to do is have, like, one scene with Andy Garcia being, like, kind of a jerk to Julia Roberts. You're like, I hope he loses everything. And then you revisit that. You're like, that probably wasn't fair.
But he's not allowed to have a bad day.
if you're just jumping in, Sam Morrell is here, and he's going to be at Helium Comedy Club. There's two shows tonight. Saturday sold out. There's a Sunday show at 7:30. Looking at your Twitter account, you had some great lines while watching the Super Bowl, and I want to repeat a couple of them here. Sam wrote, going to watch Roma after this game to see something more fast-paced.
Yeah.
Here's one. This game is so bad, young Sheldon is starting to look watchable. And this one's great. It just says, no, you don't. And it's a quote. Mick Jagger.
Oh, yeah. Adam Levine, like, what were they thinking? They were like, the NFL is so out of touch with everything. They're like, well, let's just do a shirtless dude at halftime for all. And then, like, the other one is like Stella. Like, do you guys know who watches football? It's not Stella drinking Adam Levine fans.
It was bizarre.
They really, the NFL, like, I have issues with, like, I'm a big NBA fan, but, like, the NBA, I know they have their problems, but they hide it so much better than the NFL. Like, Roger Goodell just looks like a supervillain.
He literally projects the image of someone who is clueless.
He's terrible, and
just does. But we watched that, and it was just an annoyingly glacial Super Bowl. you know, and then for a while, the big thing, the big pop culture thing was, well, the commercials are the saving grace. And they're not creative anymore.
Horrible.
They're horrible. So, you know, and we were talking about the, listen, it's long been the complaint about the over-advertising on it, but it reached, you know, Everest levels this time. Everything's sub-advertised. It's just too much. It's, I know, you're a huge sports fan.
But I love sports, but it's just the Super Bowl sucked. And I'm not happy. Who cares about Tom Brady winning again? Even they're bored at this point. Yeah, you know, they're like, they won. They're like, yeah, we won. It's like when you win six times.
Did you see that annoying? It was a tweet of a kid out on the street at the parade in Boston, and he's 10 years old, been to eight.
Yeah.
Parades.
There was another one. I'm 17 years old and I've been to 12 parades. Yeah. I'm like, but listen, I hate him because I want to be him. You know what right. I mean? Like,
They really think that Patriots fans really feel like it was them who did it. You know, they really have the ego of this. Like they're like, we did it. And they're like, yeah, you're a spoiled idiot. I mean, a Knicks fan. Yeah. Like, try to live in my shoes. We're rooting, like, we have to root against our team to get one. I mean, it's embarrassing, man. The Knicks are so, like, I love them, but it's just been so long, you know?
So I'm a season ticket holder for the Sixers, and I sell a lot of games, but I have to go to games, like, against the Knicks because I can't get face value for those tickets because it's like I'm watching a G League team.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
You want to see Alonzo Trier get 40 minutes? It's tough. I love him, but I was at the game the night before they traded KP. It was crazy. It hurts, you know? Like, I know that it's probably the right move long term. You got to roll the dice.
We were there, man. We were there not too long ago.
Yeah.
That's where Trust the Process came from. And then they came, but they did, to their credit, they came to the city and said, it's going to be a couple of years in the making. Can you ride it out? And amazingly, it seemed to be the case. And
some people weren't okay with it.
Yeah. And you guys got great players.
Yeah, but even still to this day, some people are like, I don't like the way we went about it. I mean, I'm gonna eat the dinner that you put in front of me, but I'm not going to like it as much.
But you know from being from, you know, New York in the area, the rivalries in New York have always been about New York teams against New York teams. It's never really, you know, if you're a Giants fan or a Jets fan, Knicks fan, Nets fan, if you know, and that's always the battle has always been. That's always, I think, the more important. I would find more battles going on and fights over that than, you know, other teams. I mean, obviously there are rivalries, but those always seem to. Am I right?
Well, the Yankees and the Red Sox, and you got the Giants and the Eagles. I feel like for a while, a nice little thing. Giants Cowboys, and then. In the 90s, the Knicks Pacers and Knicks Heat were like, that was as good as it got, man. I mean, Reggie Miller, like, I despise that man. He's just what he did to my team.
Right.
When he ran to the garden and kissed I was like, I hate this person more than, like, anyone in my actual life. And then you're like, well, I got to get a grip. This is embarrassing.
So it can get away from you now then?
Yeah, I was at a game a few years ago at Barclays Center, and it was a 1 year the Knicks have been good in like the last 15 years when they had Jason Kidd and Carmelo and everyone and Gerald Wallace was just playing really hard defense on Melo. And one play, and Melo kind of got a dirty move on him. And I was like, yes, break his ankles. And some woman next to me was like, this guy's crazy. We got to move. We got to get away. But so
it's good to have a villain because it gives you somebody to root against, you know? And like in Philly, we'd love rooting against the Cowboys. Even if the Eagles aren't doing well, it gives you something at least to rally around.
But when you lose to them, it's like, oh, God. Like, we lost to the Cowboys twice this year.
Yeah, Casey feels it.
Still.
Genetically.
Yeah, it's just the worst. I just, you know, and then I allowed a Cowboys fan into my circle of friends, and he comes out twice a year, and that's it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, just please go back to your hole for a second, you know?
Do you bet? Do you sports bet?
No, because I bet with my heart, and I go broke quickly. Yeah,
and now it's bet on New York teams. It's available all over the place now. That, you know,
sports betting here.
Yeah, yeah,
yep. Yeah. It's really. Casinos. Do you guys do that?
No. He does regular. Preston's a fan of the regular casinos and stuff like that. But I won't. You know, I don't. And then sports betting, I wouldn't even know what I was betting on. You know?
Artie Lang used to have the best bit about. I was like, if you want to make a game exciting, bet $1,000 on the Giants game when you have $500 in your bank account. Yeah.
The perfect get your heart moving.
That's great.
Hey, are you on Late Late with James Corden tonight?
Apparently they're re-airing it. Yeah, okay. I just did that in December. That was it's a bummer because I feel like it's maybe my best late night set, and no one watches
no
this show.
Saw. Oh.
But it was a good set. It was all like Me Too jokes and gun jokes. So I was like, I can't believe they let me do this on CBS.
He seems like a really good dude. Is he the kind of guy? Because I know some people.
You know, it's weird. He dropped the N word like four times backstage. But other than that, he's pretty cool.
He's
the nicest guy. He's really cool.
You know, casual. It doesn't mean that much. You know how the Brits are.
No, he's awesome. He was, he's like a real entertainer. He's like a song and dance guy. Yeah. Yep. It's kind of, you know, they've got so many different type of whites hosting late night these days. It's like, you know, you got the party guy, Jimmy Fallon. You got Colbert's doing the politics. You got, you know.
Kimmel does politics as well. Yeah.
Kimmel's like, he's kind of evolved.
A hybrid.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Conan's just silly and great. I mean,
if you look at the audience numbers for the shows, they're minimal, but they have a big impact. I mean, they're relatively speaking, there's not big audiences, but they do have a big impact.
Yeah. I still like doing them.
Yeah.
You mentioned Corden being multi-talented and besides comedy, is there any other thing that that you have you would put in the talent?
No, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I barely woke up for this. I was excited to do it, too. I mean, I have nothing else to offer. I'm worthless.
Do you have hobbies besides sports and stuff? Are you easily a coma guy on the couch watching a game?
Yeah, I love watching sports. I'll go to, like, movies or... I still play ball sometimes, but I mean, I'm a lanky Jew. What do you want from me? I'm not going to give you much. Maybe a bank shot here and there, you know? I don't know. I like to hang out. As I'm talking about it, I realize I got nothing to offer.
I went to the Y and tried to do a pickup game, and I didn't realize, like, how everything goes. When you play... Does it happen like this? So two guys, everybody shoots free throws, but the first two people that make it get to pick teams. Yeah. And then I sat there and I never got picked. I was there for like 40 minutes.
Why would you actively go for that embarrassment?
Well, because I didn't know that's how it worked. Oh. I thought the way I used to play is the first 10 people that made the free throw got to play. And then whoever else was left, they got next game or whatever. And that's not how it worked here.
Get picked now?
What's that?
They just pick you.
They just pick now. And I just sat there and I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting. And like three games went by and like nobody came up to, hey, you want next game?
I hate it. Someone just deems themselves general manager now. It's so annoying. It used to be fair. You're right. It's crazy.
That would be very disheartening.
It was totally disheartening because, okay, well, this guy hasn't played in the first three games. So you don't even have to shoot free throws. You can play in the next game. And it wasn't like that. I was like, oh man, fat out of
shape. That's almost more fun than playing, is getting to pick the team. Because like, there's like a part of, like when I play video games now, I don't like want to play the game. I just want to do the front office mode and just like fix the Knicks.
I know so many people who get consumed not with the actual video game playing. It's that when they started offering that level of your, like, you know, the coach or manager or that became the thing. So you get caught up in
that? Well, it's so cool. And it's like, I think it's like, I know my dreams aren't going to come true. So it's one of those things where I'm like, well, I'm not going to like play for the Knicks, but I could like somehow like, you know, whisper in someone's ear, do this trade. Right. Or something, you know what I mean?
I bet you more kids are going to go into sports management because of that, those modes on those games, because it's actually pretty cool.
You have to match salaries. It's realistic.
Yeah. No, it's amazing how, now listen, I don't know the first thing, but people I know who've played it, who know what they're talking about, see, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, you have to match salaries and throw in picks. I thought it was kind of cool you guys got Tobias Harris. I mean, that guy's going to help you guys a lot, I think.
We'll find out tonight.
Yeah.
First game with him in the lineup.
He's killer, man. He's a good player. I mean, he's not worth probably what they would have had to pay him on the free market or whatever, but he's a killer.
Are you friends with any athletes?
I've met players before, but I used to have a sports show, so I got to meet some of the guys, but I definitely wouldn't say friends. But
do you fanboy?
It depends on who. I shot a thing with Charles Oakley once, and okay. I bugged out. I love Oakley. I mean, he's such a psycho. I mean, how do you not love a guy who's, I mean, not in real, I mean, like on the court. He was such a killer, you know?
Was he the one that got tossed out of the game?
I was at that game.
Were you sitting right behind him?
I was nearby. I was
okay. Are you in camera range? Because you see a whole bunch of people sitting behind him.
I've been to the worst games ever. It's crazy. I was at the game when Oakley got thrown out. I was at the game when Porzingis tore his ACL.
Oh, man.
I was at the game when Ewing missed the finger roll. I've been at every heartbreaking moment.
Wow. Maybe you shouldn't go anymore.
Well, you're right. They're doing great when I'm not there. They're really killing it.
Yeah, there's clearly a distinction.
Yeah, Oakley Casey's was drunk big on, or something, right?
He was what?
Wasn't Oakley drunk or something like that game?
I don't think so. I don't know. Who knows? I don't think he was.
Casey's big on the juju about, what you do affecting the game. And it was a little concerned that Kendall Jenner has started to hook up with Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
But
Harden's okay, right? Harden hook up with one of them?
Yeah, he was Chloe.
Kendall's record?
11-2.
Okay, for so games that she's been at.
Whoa.
She's doing okay. Now. She's allowed now. He was nervous at
it
first.
It didn't look promising for the first, but
At first, I was totally against it, and then, you can't argue with
it. Well, it worked out great for Lamar Odom and Chris Humphries. as long as they did well,
Reggie Bush.
Almost Reggie Bush. On horny goat weed.
Yeah, I think Lamar Odom, you're like, in a coma. That was a real turnaround. Holy cow. Right. I loved Lamar Odom so much. I thought he was like one of the coolest players. Like 6'11", could dribble, pass.
He just got killed.
Yeah, but he won. You know what? He was like he was like almost like the last batch of like guys at that level who had no ego. I mean, he was like, he could have been a star, and he was like, I'll be the sixth man. He was right, great. I loved Odom.
All right, well, listen, I want to give everybody a heads up because Sam's shows are selling out.
Yes.
You want to get tickets, you got to get them now. Helium Comedy Club tonight, 7:30 and 10 p.m. Forget about tomorrow night. Those are sold out. But a Sunday show.
Yoo-hoo.
And that'll be at 7:30. And you can go to heliumcomedy.com to get those tickets. So thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate you getting up early and all that stuff.
Oh, my God. I feel like a human again. When I woke up, I mean, you saw that was a problem. But
Meredith is not.
I was very cranky. But now I feel good.
The great thing with Meredith is she always has sippy cups in the car. So
we're going to send you on your way. Thanks for coming by, Sam.
Thank you so much.
Sam Morrell, guys. Yay! We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Red, red, red. Is she seeing red? Well, she wants to this Valentine's Day. Give her one of Steven Singer's famous Valentine's Day red 24-karat gold gib roses starting at only $59 with free shipping. A gift that lasts a lifetime. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We did like the, the butt hold. There's a D in there.
Let me hear it again.
Oh, God.
Like the, the butt hold.
Yeah. You did say butthole.
Yeah, you can hear it.
But when it was leaving your mouth,
yeah,
before you even got to the end of the word, we heard butthole.
We had already decided it was going to be butthole.
That it was butthole at that point. So, hey, I need to mention this. Marissa has an event today. She is hosting a Cardboard Classic pre-party. I don't know that we've ever had a Cardboard Classic pre-party before. And it's a chance for you to win some cool stuff. She will be today, lunchtime, noon to 2, at the Sprint Store on the corner of 18th and Market, right in the heart of Center City. And she'll have lift tickets, knit hats, and Sprint prize packs every 15 minutes to give away. And one person is going to win a VIP prize pack. That's an overnight stay for the event, Dunkin' Donuts gift card, and VIP access, which is this special area that we are in.
Yes.
While we watch the Cardboard Classic and comment on everything that's going on. So you could win that. Stop by and see Marissa today at the Sprint Store at 18th and Market, noon to 2 today.
See the commercial they're running for the Poconos?
No.
Like it shows like the new restaurants that are up there and all that stuff.
No.
It
looks,
For the Poconos in general?
And just in general. It's like a Poconos tourism commercial.
Is that the tourism commercial that has the lesbian couple in the hot tub together?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I found that.
I have not seen that.
Fairly well advanced and progressive of the Poconos.
Very cool.
You know that about the Poconos. They love lesbians.
Hot lesbos. They love hot lesbos.
Hot lesbos. couple of things. Before, I wanted to play this piece of audio because it's in conjunction with somebody passing away. Boxing legend and viral sensation, a guy named Rocky Lockridge, died. He was 60 years old, former boxing champion. He actually became a viral, there was a video. It says a meme here, but I guess it would be a meme.
It was pre-meme.
But he was on the show Intervention.
Yeah.
And he started crying, and it was passed around a lot. By the way, he died from complications of a stroke.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. But he was the former WBA and IBF junior lightweight champion. It actually knocked out Roger Mayweather, which is Floyd Mayweather's uncle, in 98 seconds, and it was the first loss in Mayweather's career. So he had a great boxing career. But he was known after this video as the greatest cry in history, apparently.
And you know it. You've heard it. You've probably used it. Heard it employed occasionally, or people listening to it at work. It still keeps popping up to this date, and
yes.
You can't help it. The guy's going through a tough time, but it's a bizarre, legendary cry.
Yeah, and this was he was being confronted for his addiction to crack cocaine, and his son Lamar addressed the problem, and then he responded with this. I mean, the guy is...
It's going through pain, but...
He's really upset.
But we all, I think, can come together as humans and laugh at him.
Oh, no. But the look on his face, it's this weird, slow build.
It
you
is.
Like,
it's just totally... Yeah.
At first, you're like, is he in pain, or...
Is he getting angry?
On his foot, or... And then you didn't realize he was crying until...
Yeah.
Like, 3 seconds into it.
With the Sound of Music.
Oh, that's so sad.
Don't make me laugh, because I feel insanely terrible for this guy.
Everyone does. But the moment, it's you have to, if you can detach it from the what's going on, it is a very bizarre. When I first heard it, I tried to figure out what it was, not knowing that it was somebody crying. I don't even think it still sounds like someone crying.
It wasn't until you start to hear the vocal fry that I was like, oh, he's crying.
There's also music underneath of it.
We've got tonight.
Or it's you know, twist and shout where they go,
Now, wait a minute.
That is terrible.
But he became he had a second bit of notoriety.
I'm curious if he, after this intervention, if he managed to stay clean. I do not have those details.
Wait, so
I saw the whole episode.
Who did you say died of a stroke?
He did.
He did.
The guy crying. Yeah. Passed away at 60 years old, obviously way too young, and it was complications from a stroke. And I don't know if he managed to stay off crack cocaine or not, but he became known for that after that.
And that's it, sad that he died. I hope. I don't know if he was able to pull things together and it was just an anomaly. You know, that'd be nice, but you can't tell. That Intervention show, I don't know if it's still on. It would be harrowing to watch a number of times, but there'd be other times where you'd say, you know that they're in there with lights and stuff. When the person's walking up, you know, and they know they have a virulent drug issue, and you see all the lights in there, and like,
well, would they tell them something else, that they were there for something else, and then reveal that to them?
You're the new bachelor. Really? That's great, because I got a real bad drug problem, but this is great news. Because I want to meet Mrs. Wright.
You're the new bachelor.
I can't go right now. I'm a new bachelor. I'm about to meet the ladies.
Oh, those shows in general, those addiction shows. Oh,
they're harrowing.
God, they are hard to watch.
Even the ones, listen, Dr. Drew got a whole bunch of crap because his might have been flashier, but like the two shows that he did. But when someone's at the dregs of life, we talk about it. We talk about the recovery centers and everything and the incredible work they're doing. It's just so emotionally draining.
So Viceland has a few different shows. I've talked to you guys about that Dr. Hiawatha guy.
Yes,
Kentucky. But they also have another one where they basically follow this guy who is trying to find rehabs and halfway houses for people. I can't remember the name of it. It's just so weird because then they have it's just, to me, that channel is so bipolar because they, like with one show will sort of glorify drug use, and then another one, it's like, well, yeah, but this guy's about to die because he's got a crazy heroin problem.
What network?
It's Vice. It's Viceland or
okay.
Viceland is the name of the network, right?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Which
yeah.
one has the Hoarders show?
Oh, is that History Channel?
I don't know. I get stuck watching that every now and then.
Hoarders is compulsive viewing because, you know, the same way they're compulsive for hoarding. You think you've seen the worst it can get, yeah. and then the following episode is 10 times worse.
But then it's almost the same every single episode because they're like, yes, I want to make a change in my life, blah, 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 blah. And then they get about a quarter of the way through it, and then they start getting combative.
Yeah.
And they start getting pissed off at the people for taking
their
stuff away.
And don't you get pissed off when they're going through the house and you're not seeing the things you want to see in a hoarder's house? Where are your cat boxes?
Yeah, come on.
Where are your old newspapers?
Yeah. They should be here.
Rip off.
All right. You know what? I noticed a few things.
Why
don't we do that? I think that'd be...
It's time for the Noticer. Yep. The Noticer made a quickie appearance during the week earlier, but now we're getting the real deal.
I noticed this story. I noticed it because Steve sent it to me. it's a massive $690 million renovation. The Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas is adding to its lavish collection of luxury-themed suites. And they're redesigning two sprawling spaces. Now, these are like the big, big suites that you would never even consider renting out because there's one's $15,000 a night.
Oh, so this is for like what they call the whales.
Sorry.
Wow.
What happened?
I got scared.
Well, I normally turn this back up in case somebody wants to use a sound effect. Anyway.
It's just, as you said, Preston, a sprawling suite.
So there are two suites that they're redesigning. One is called the Hardwood Suite, and the other one is called the Kingpin Suite. And the Kingpin Suite pays homage to the beloved 1996 bowling comedy movie Kingpin.
It looks so cool.
It's $15,000 a night, 4,500 square feet, has all of the overtop amenities that you'd expect from a high-rolling Vegas player suite.
Does it have a bowling alley in it?
Yeah. It does, of course. What? In the middle of the suite are two full bowling lanes, complete with shoes, bowling balls, an automatic scoring system, and eye-popping views of the Vegas Strip.
Oh, that's funny.
On opposite sides of the bowling lanes are two sprawling bedrooms, one of them decked out with double queen bunk beds and 2.5 baths throughout the suite. Multiple lounge spaces, a pool table, several big screen TVs, a fully functional bar, modernized 70s aesthetics, which include faux fur throws, crazy textures, and neon signs.
That's great.
And it makes for an epic experience. And I'm sure a lot of times these gigantic suites will come up with a butler service, too.
Did you see the murals that they have up?
Yeah.
It's a Woody Harrelson as Munson, and they have... Bill Murray. Yeah.
Yep.
Casey, I'm sure you will disagree with me on this, but I find Kingpin to be funnier and better than Dumb and Dumber. And the both Farrelly Brothers movies, I think Kingpin is way underrated as a comedy classic. And for whatever reason, it came in between Something About Mary and Dumb and Dumber, which were huge hits. And Kingpin just didn't do as well at the box office.
Oh, it didn't?
No, and I love that movie. I was watching clips from it yesterday. It was the Steve the S-Cloud scene where he's running out of the motel. And he's
there's an S-Storm. There's just a ton of stuff where I really laughed out loud for long periods of time. Kingpin probably right from the beginning because Munson is such a down on his luck character when he has the hot coffee and he's talking to the baby in the stroller and the coffee's going on the baby when he has to bang the landlord. And he's vomiting in the toilet. All of that stuff is
really
great.
Charged something loose there, Tiger. Yeah. It's back when Randy Quaid was funny.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and he's just disappeared and gone badass crazy.
But that character is so sorry. That's why I can't agree with you on that, Nick. I just,
Woody character?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has his redemption. He has his moment, though. It turns around, you know?
Going back to these suites. Now, the other one is called the Hardwood Suite. Which was remodeled by the Rockwell Group, and it is $20,000 a night. Adding to the ultra-luxe accommodation are a hidden whiskey room, game room equipped with a pool and poker table, 10-person dining table, and a 16-seat bar big enough to fit an entire NBA team.
Let me ask you, what's the betting capacity in both these suites? Do they give that? In other words, so could you bring in like 10 people to
easily
mitigate the cost?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure how many people they would allow, but I'm not sure. The suite features a black and white basketball court as well.
Painted
incredible. By Joshua Videz. Excuse me. Sorry, Bill. And in case you eat breathe, and literally sleep hopes. Hoops, you can crash on the court. They have Murphy beds, Steve, that flip down on the basketball court.
Come on.
In the walls. And as part of the property-wide reinvention, they decided to give their most notable suite a truly luxurious upgrade, they said in a statement. And in fact, I want to say that that one might be like 10,000 square feet or something. It's
we're looking at the basketball court.
Ridiculous.
Look at this.
Yeah, and that that's unreal.
Who do you think... actually ends up staying in these places? Is it
Celine Dion?
I was gonna say, is it, you know, whales from Asia, you know, people that just have sick money to
wouldn't they dry out and eventually die?
That is not actual whales, gambling whales.
No, there are people with FU money, and they, you know,
I hate those people
when they but what happens is they don't even they're comp those rooms. You know, when they come in, when you have someone who's going to come in and spend millions of dollars in the casino, they're comp that setup.
It says here, so good news, even if you are, you're not a big enough gambling whale to get these mega suites comped during your next stay at the Palms, they also accept cash if you want to invest in the ultimate Vegas splurge. So you can actually rent them out.
So chances, if you're playing the dollar blackjack tables, they're not going to send you up there.
No. And they said it's got a poker table in the room. I wonder if you could have a dealer come up. And
yeah, sure.
And get that all taken
care of. What's like the most expensive hotel room you've ever stayed in?
Nicest hotel room I've ever stayed in. That's a good question.
I mean, $1 billion a night.
Nah, you know what? Rochelle and I got a suite at the Rittenhouse one time, and it was a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. Now, we paid a decent amount of money for it. It wasn't ridiculous.
$15,000 a night.
It wasn't ridiculous, but it was really nice. So much so that we did have plans to go out to dinner that night. We scrapped them and we ordered food to come up in. And we're like, staying here. This is too nice. We're not leaving here.
When you spend all of that money and then you're barely in the room, what's the point?
Right. That I don't get. Yeah, if you're out and about, I always say if you can get the best hotel room you can if you're going away on vacation, because if the vacation ends up stinking, at least your hotel makes up for it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Hey, when we stayed at the Revel for the mixer thing that we did you guys get a suite that night?
Yes.
We just got a regular room, and that was nice.
The showers.
I had the I had the Benson suite. It was a thematically all Benson material. Huge Robert Guillaume murals.
No, I had a really nice suite there. And one time we were at, I think we did a thing at the, no, maybe it was last time that we were at Harrah's. And for some reason, they gave me a stupid, large suite.
Something was wrong with your original room.
Yeah.
And you needed, they messed up the reservation or something like that. And they needed to upgrade you. And so they did. They took care of you the way that any place should.
Steve, this thing had like a conference room. Yeah. And I mean, it was ridiculous.
That's very cool.
And all I did was... You know, we were working, so I went and I spent the night there, and that was it. Yeah, I was like, I just want to stay here for a little while.
Need more time.
Yeah.
I was in one of those big suites in the Borgata once before. I didn't stay there, but it was beautiful.
Like a whale suite?
It wasn't like a $15,000 a night, but I mean, it was like a large house.
Smirnoff was doing the thing, and she wasn't using the room?
Karina Smirnoff, and she was like, you can stay in my room.
You stay in my room.
But we couldn't stay over, but we were like, well, she gave me the key, so I was like, well, we have to go look at it. So we literally went up to the room, and we like sat and like looked at stuff, and they had like, you know, you could have a massage in there. There was a massage table so that you could send somebody up from the spa so
That's
you didn't
wild.
Have to leave your room. Wow. But the nicest hotel that I ever stayed in, I was... It was like a hotel set in a mountain in Capri. And the room was a view of the Bay of Naples. That was probably...
Wow. That's awesome.
We walked around there and we were like, we don't really belong
here. We don't
belong
here.
Is that your honeymoon?
No, that was not my honeymoon. Okay. It was a different trip.
Take your corn dogs and get out of here.
All right, Noticer. Let me
for the Noticer.
Find some other things. Interesting.
The Noticer says this will be interesting.
This is from KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Helping you out, and they're giving away one of their features of a faux bearskin rug, okay? But the bearskin rug features the head and limbs of Colonel Sanders in it.
So you're getting a Colonel Sanders bearskin rug.
Yes, and the reason I bring this up is now three winners will receive the rug, two fried chicken pajama onesies.
Dude, I want this.
A gift card to KFC as well for a year and a yearly subscription to an online streaming service. Yes. Did you ever know anybody who had a bear skin rug?
Yes. No. Yeah.
My cousin did, and it had a bear head on it and everything.
And it's a gutted bear on your floor.
He was much older than I, so I was a little kid, but I remember loving that.
You're fascinated.
Thing. Uh-huh. And I guess they still exist, but this is hilarious.
And the head is really modeled after Harlan Sanders. So. Yes.
That's bizarre.
Yep.
My friend had a bear. It was a blanket that was made from bear skin.
Okay.
That his brother had gotten. I think he got it.
Was it faux or real?
No, it was real.
Wow. Okay.
It was the warmest blanket that I had ever worn. And I believe his brother got it when he was in Korea. I think he was in the one of the armed
Koreans
forces.
Koreans used bears in battle. A lot of people didn't know that.
It was definitely in Asia somewhere. And
isn't that wild?
It was stifling how warm the blanket
really
was. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Now I sent you guys a link to a house.
Yeah.
And in this house there are a lot of bearskin rugs, but somebody had sent me a listing for a home that's on sale in Maple Glen. Kathy, did you look at it?
Yes, this has been going around. All the realtors are posting it on
there. They are.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's 48 photos, and if you get to photo 31, You have to stop and go, wait a minute.
What is that?
What is that? So it's a beautiful home, by the way.
Beautiful.
What's the style?
For a decent price, too. It's 5,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeously laid out. It's $750,000 for a home that looks like this. That seems like a pretty
good
price to me.
It actually does seem like a really good price.
Yeah.
But when you get to photo number 31... you realize that they have a bit of an S&M dungeon in their house.
But it's in like a beautifully...
decorated
it's almost like an executive dungeon.
It's decorated that way. Like, it's not just little things maybe in a box somewhere. No, they had things built in their basement.
Yes, and in fact, if you look at the bed, there are stocks.
Yes.
Like you would see
when
they would be punishing someone in the square where they have your head and your arms up in the stocks.
If you were a witch.
Yeah, exactly. And the bed has what appears to be, you can turn it into a cage if you want to.
It has bars.
There's also some sort of a rack in another picture that has all kinds of chains and leather and swinging things.
And is there
Wait a minute. You know what? Do we even know... In turn, Mars's address, is this her home, possibly?
Is the Star of David, is that a...
I don't know what that is.
That might be...
No, it's just a regular star.
It's wooden. Maybe those are little links on there that you can chain someone up to.
But when you see the picture of the front of the house, it's a beautiful brick house with a pretty red door.
Suburbia galore.
Well, and then you get inside.
Mm-hmm. But even the chambers... It's like nice. It doesn't seem like a dungeon.
It's very it's brightly painted. Yeah. It's well lit. It's very cozy. There's a it looks like recessed lighting.
Listen, I'm sure they took out the clutter for the pictures.
Well, it's called 50 Shades of Isn't it 50 Shades of Maple Glen?
Maple Glen, yeah.
Yeah.
I want this house. This is gorgeous. And looking at almost every picture, there is a bearskin rug or some type of skin rug all over the place.
I'll tell you this, though. If you have guests that you don't want to, like, get up before you get up at the house and you want them, you know, sometimes if you have people stay over and they're up and they're milling about before you're up and they get up too early, it'd be nice to sort of put them in a bed that's a cage.
Yeah. Throw them in the stocks.
Yeah. I'm going to lock you in. I'm going to come get you around 10, all right?
Yeah, this is where you have to stay.
The next 6 hours, you have to remain here.
We get up at 10.
The attic seems to be unfinished, but looks like it could be a whole other...
Sex pit.
Dungeon and sex pit of sorts, if you'd like. You can schedule a tour. I'm on the website right now. So this is being passed around by the real estate community, Kat?
Yeah, so I saw a few realtors that posted it on their website, you know, on their pages, making jokes. Yeah.
One thing I did not check is obviously that would go with the owner, right? Does it come as is, fully furnished?
That's like a trampoline in the backyard. You can keep it if you want.
I doubt it. There's a lot.
Right, it's got to be going with them.
There's a lot of furniture in this, and for $750,000, there's no way they're going to...
Because I've seen that very same bondage bed at the dump, and it's expensive.
You know, you mentioned this off air, Steve. We'll have to do this next week. We're not going to have time to do it now, but we had a while back done profession-specific conversation, and it was for cable installers and cable techs and the things they've seen.
Yeah.
Real estate agents.
Oh, my God.
You know they've seen a lot of
absolutely.
Stuff. So we won't do that now. Maybe we'll get to that next week.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice step off point.
And we can lead off with this.
Yeah. Wow.
That's honestly,
it's impressive, actually.
If it did come fully furnished, would you want that?
Somehow,
I mean, even if you
were many house, have you ever seen a house that was for sale or when you were house hunting that had a fully furnished arrangement?
Yeah.
Really? I never have.
A lot of beach houses
at the
do
shore.
That.
Yeah, that's where they do it, is at the shore.
And model homes will do that sometimes, Steve, in newer neighborhoods. But would I want that?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Why not?
Well, I'm just saying.
You're going to get knock a couple grand off and take the S&M stuff out. Nah, play around with it. You never know. It might open up a whole world that you never knew even existed to you.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
This is Michelle. We're going to have the PTA meeting over here tonight. Bring your bull whips and butt plugs.
It's already been sexed on, you know?
Well, it's already been sexed
get on. You see the commercials all the time for the services that come in and spray clean your sex equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. My hotel beds.
The general.
Been sexed on, too, you know. So if I'm staying in a hotel, I know people have done it in that room. I'm good with it. What?
The hotel cleaner that I sent you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what else I noticed?
Hey, whoa! Hey. Notice as we go down a slippery slope that began with butt dancing.
This is Kathy. Yeah. Do we have the, no, it was the butthole.
Butthole. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was,
We did like the, you know, the butthole.
All right. Kathy sent me this. Speaking of cleaning up after sex, it is called the Cleanse Bot or the Cleanse Bot.
The Cleanse Bot.
Now, you have a Roomba for cleaning your floors. You have the Wind Bot, who will automatically clean your windows. Yeah. The Solar Breeze will automatically clean your pool. And the Grill Bot will clean your grill. Well, now the Cleanse Bot is a new robot that will automatically clean your sheets and kill the bacteria hiding in them.
I saw this sucker. Are you going to get this?
I don't know. Well, you could take it to hotel rooms.
Let it run its deal.
Yeah.
That's how they're marketing it. It says perfect for traveling and staying in hotels and Airbnbs. The Cleanse Bot will ensure that the beds you sleep in are bacteria free before you hop in and inside of it for 8 hours.
And within minutes, it's removing all the splooge from the sheets.
And it's kind of small. It's easy to travel with.
Yeah, they show you how you can just stick it in your backpack if you want to. So how it works is the Cleanse Bot, and it looks like a tiny Roomba.
It does.
And it runs around the bed like
under
that.
The sheets, mm-hmm. It'll go, yeah.
The Cleanse Bot will disinfect and sanitize all hotel surfaces, and the UVC lights on this robot will help prevent the spread of airborne viruses. The robot is filled with 18 sensors and uses 4 UVC lamps to blast away 99.9% of germs and bacteria on any surface, but most importantly, on your hotel bed. To use it, you just place the bed cleaning robot on your bed and turn it on, and it will then run around on your bed like a Roomba and clean and sanitize for either 30 or 60 minutes.
You down with this, Kathy?
Yeah.
So, you know, how many people are just going to turn it on and get into bed with it?
Right. It says the Cleanse Bot is super tiny, so it fits into a bag, purse, or piece of luggage to use and bring with you when you need it the most.
It's not a bad idea.
Anybody seen how much it costs yet? I didn't see that.
No, it's like $250.
$250?
Yeah. Does it work?
I don't know.
I would like to.
Does it work any better than a washing machine when you wash the sheets like normal?
Or my method, which is just lick the sheets.
Yeah. But you can't always, you know, like, you can't trust that the house service is going to do that.
You know,
like, I've gotten into a hotel room where there was clearly a stain of some sort on the sheet.
And that
on a
sucks.
It's
disgusting.
Like, dude,
yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Can bring up a different stain, please? Yeah. I
don't worry so much about the sheets, but the comforters, because they don't often wash those. So,
right.
You know, and I most times will rip that right off. But, you know, sometimes actually the hotel we stay at for the Camp Out for Hunger, they have it. It's sort of just like it looks more like a sheet than a big old comforter.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right.
I can't imagine they're washing that.
So statistically, when people are having sex on hotel beds, are they pulling off the comforter or are they having it with the sheets? Because more often than that, even at home, I sleep on top of my comforter.
Oh, you do?
I just use a blanket.
Nah, comforter's gone, at least in my experience.
Yeah.
That's on the floor.
I use the curtains.
Very good.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's
I'm a bit paranoid, but listen, everybody's got their
When
thing.
I hit the crescendo, I do it on the robot. Yeah.
All right, let's say you're staying at a smaller hotel. Let's say you're down at the Jersey Shore at like a 20-room motel or something like that. Like,
you're just assuming.
Well, I'm just saying, like, how much does it cost to just strip all the sheets off the bed, comforter and all? You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of times, I don't necessarily know if it's a time thing, but it's a cost thing. It costs a lot of money to wash a comforter every single.
What do you worry about more, that or bed bugs?
Well, my wife is very concerned with bed bugs.
Okay.
When we go to a hotel together, I don't do this when I'm by myself. Right. When we go to a hotel room together, like, all right, don't even bring your bags near the bed. Let me just inspect basically all the creases of the bed. And so she basically tears the whole bed apart before we can ever do anything in the room.
Oh, she's very thorough.
Yeah. Makes her feel better.
You bring them back home.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, whenever I, stay in a hotel and I call her, did you check the bed? I'm like, yes, I did. I checked the bed.
Very happy. Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
So anyway, well, this might be the case. That'd be a great gift for her.
It won't kill bed bugs, though.
It won't.
Right? Does it?
No, I doubt it.
I don't know. You know, does it vacuum? That's what
it has. Little flamethrowers around the perimeter.
It's just got the lights.
Yeah, it looks like it's kind of like
yeah, it's killing germs and bacteria.
Some sort of laser? I don't know.
It gives the bed bugs a ride to another part of the day.
there you go.
Hop on.
Okay. Marissa just brought this note in. Doubling back to that, the S&M house.
Yeah.
It is available on Airbnb.
Wow.
You can rent it?
That's
our next mixer.
Seriously.
$750 a night?
Well, did you see the place?
I mean, it's nice, yeah, but I mean, it's not like, it's in a hotel.
It's got a cave.
It's not even close to the city.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You don't. We want to take in some of the museums.
Hey, you never know.
$2,000 a night / the weekend for private parties or entertainment.
There you go.
So it's like a swingers house.
There you go.
It's the kind of place where we get our calendar shot at.
Actually, it's not a bad idea.
Why not?
Yeah. All right.
S&M calendar.
50 Shades of HR.
All right. Do we need to wrap it up or can I do one more?
One more.
All right, one more.
The Notisher wants to know if we can wrap it up or should. And the answer, no. One more Notisher story.
All right. Since we're sticking with home and cleanliness and all that stuff, every home has its own smell and sometimes it's not so great. A cognitive psychologist, Pamela Dalton, says nose blindness is a real thing.
Yes, okay. It is.
And it happens when your nose smells something. And this is the science behind it, and I didn't know this. When your nose smells something, determines that it is not a threat, and then shuts down the receptors for that smell. That's how it happens, okay?
Yes.
So this is great if an out-of-the-ordinary smell pops up, but bad for lingering scents. If you want to make sure that your own home doesn't have a funky odor, what you have to do is says you could leave it all closed up for a few days and then come back and then take a deep breath. You could also do a few quick laps around the block and then take a deep breath through your nose as soon as you come back inside, because it's been shown that exercise can wake your nose back up.
So your nose is sort of put on in sleep mode.
Yeah, exactly.
And you come back, it'll refamiliarize you with the new scents. All right. Yeah. Kathy was over to my house. Remember you came over, you couldn't believe we had all the cats?
Listen, Steve has forever said my house doesn't smell like cats. And I'm going to say wasn't sure I believed him with 9 cats. And I went to his house. It's pretty damn good. It doesn't smell like cats in there.
Yeah.
I had a friend who lived in an apartment, had just 2 cats, and that was it.
Yeah.
And the moment you walked in the door, that ammonia smell.
Yeah.
Bang. Yeah. I mean, it was bad. But, I mean, I didn't want to be rude and go, dear God, this stinks. So I would hang out, and after a couple hours, I couldn't smell it anymore.
I guess what this is saying, your nose perceives it, or your system perceives it to not be a threat.
Exactly.
And then shuts off your ability to recognize it.
You don't have to be concerned about it anymore.
Right. So this is why when somebody who has horrible body odor is unaware that they have horrible body odor. When you say, how can they not know that? That's how they not know that.
Yep. I think this might be an explanation. I think my nose doesn't do that.
It's quite possible.
I am serious because if there's something specific that's been cooked in my house, if you were there and you were cooking it, you would probably get used to it. I can't stand it. I have to open the windows even when it's freezing.
Let it clear.
Yeah. And let it air it out.
Kath, when I was in the Boy Scouts, we did a camping trip at Delmont, and it was it was father-son weekend, so we stayed in a cabin, and it was a bigger cabin, and it smelled terrible. But you would get used to the smell. But the problem is the outhouse. It didn't have a bathroom, so you had to go to the outhouse. And every single time you came back into the cabin, you smelled it all over again. And it took a while. It took a good 10, 15 minutes.
When you're
minutes.
Coming from the outhouse and going, man, this place stinks.
Yes.
Was it like mildew, mold smell?
It was,
No, man.
No. It was just a rank, rotten smell. I can't necessarily.
Probably something dead.
Well, it wasn't dead.
Probably the campers before you.
Yeah, whatever it wasn't dead. It was just a foul smell.
By the way, they also recommend that if you really want to find out, it's a little bit awkward, but ask a friend to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it stinks. So,
yeah, that's all there is to it. Case, we have breaking news. Do we have time?
Yeah,
do we?
We don't really. We can mention it. We can mention it if you want.
Briefly, Albert Finney, the actor, passed away.
Oh. Yeah.
82 years old.
One of my favorite movies of all time, Big Fish.
Yeah, he plays the dad in that movie. So, sad news. British actor.
Masterpiece.
A lot of great things. So, that's sad news.
That is very sad.
All right. We got to take a break. Casey's giving me the kibosh here on another noticer or breaking news.
Noticer is over. Yeah. It's on a down note.
Sorry.
We'll think about Albert Finney.
Let's give away some beer, though. That'll be nice. Kind of patch things up a tiny bit. We'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Going to give you some love. Yards Love Stout. And don't forget, of course, creamy, rich, and satisfying. It's a perfect thing to bring to the one you love. Look for Yards Love Stout at Bran Mawr Liquors in Wilmington. Bring the love, bring Yards. 215-263-WMMR. Caller 12. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow. MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's Favorite Fail. Mandatory sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and JP Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Daily Rush videos have been added to our collection. There's some brand new ones. If you haven't had a chance to see them yet, there's the Duke Likes to Drive. The Royal Panty Cleaner.
I forget some of these.
The Pudding Guy is hilarious.
Big fan of pudding.
If you haven't seen that yet. But the brand new one, and one of our new video editors put this together. It's called Casey Doesn't Care. And it's great.
It's an avant-garde piece.
It is.
Yeah.
There's some editing that was done to it that adds.
But it captures the essence of how Casey was feeling at the time.
You can take a peek into Casey's mind. In this one, and
he doesn't care.
I don't care.
Fish, and he doesn't care what you think about it. So watch that now. PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. We're going to do the Bizarre File, so let's go to it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning it's brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. You can mark your calendar for the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost and pick up $10 lift tickets at WMMR.com until February 17th. An Uber driver says he's feeling lucky after a seemingly normal ride request led him to a scene swarming with police. Tuesday afternoon, multiple officers reported to the MidFirst Bank. Also called to that scene was an Uber driver, Brandon Case. Unbeknownst to him, another Uber driver had dropped off his would-be passengers, then called police. Three teenagers told the calling party that they had a gun. They walked into the bank. They said that they were about to get popped, a dispatcher could be heard saying after the first driver alerted them. He said, I turned the corner, and all I see are cop cars all over the place. And I'm like, this is not normal. Oklahoma City police haven't released the identities of the people involved. But basically, they took an Uber to the bank.
To rob a bank?
To rob it. And they called an Uber to give them a ride away from there.
I give them a bad rating.
the cops showed up first, and they managed to bust them before they ever got in that Uber to take them
away. So I wonder, have there been any successful, not that we would know it, but any successful uses of Uber or Lyft to commit an armed robbery?
As a getaway?
As a getaway.
I got to believe that there are at least in all the millions of rides that take place.
I'm the one with the big mask and the large bag that has a dollar sign on it. I'm right on the corner.
You can't miss me.
I'm dressed as Ronald Reagan, and I have a bag of money.
I'll bet it's happened before. Wow. Death and humor don't always go hand in hand, but they can. This week, the Hamilton Spectator in Hamilton, Canada, published the obituary for a woman named Sybil Hicks. The obituary notes that she died, quote, peacefully with her family by her side on the morning of April 2nd. But it also reads, I leave behind my loving husband, Rob Hicks, who I affectionately referred to as a horse's ass. I also leave behind my children, whom I tolerated over the years. And I finally, and this is the best part, I finally have the smoking hot body I've always wanted, having been cremated. I thought that was
Is pretty cool.
A fun way to go out.
We're looking at a picture of her, a beautiful woman.
Well, she looks like a lot of fun, actually. She looks like, she said, her daughter, Brenda, said our mother was truly a remarkable woman, and we will miss her terribly.
How old person?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. It's his name that he's proud of, and he wants it on his Saskatchewan license plate. But Dave Assman of Melville, Saskatchewan, says that they have rejected his request to allow him to use Assman on a personalized plate, calling it an unacceptable slogan.
Wasn't this a...
Seinfeld
episode, yeah.
Well, that's this guy's name, he said, it's my last name. I've always had it. He pronounces it as Osman. He said, I'm not ashamed of it. There's nothing bad about it. In 1995, the name even sparked its own Asmania craze when David Letterman found and interviewed a Saskatchewan gas station worker and manager by the name of Dick Assman.
Dick Assman, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, and his wife, Katie Butthole.
That Assman, by the way, is a distant relative to Dave Assman, who said that the family has other Assman relatives sprinkled throughout Saskatchewan. For Assman, the name is important because it's one he shares with his great-grandfather, whom he's learned was a well-off farmer in the New Dorf, Saskatchewan area. Farmers would come in the early 30s, and they borrowed money from him, he said. Instead of him foreclosing on their land, he would just forgave them and let them pay.
So Assman was generous.
He was a very generous Assman. this week, he called the powers that be for an explanation on why his name was rejected and was told that it could be misread and cause offense. He chalks that answer up to too many hurt feelings, feeling reports given.
That's what Judge Dick had decreed.
Yeah. An Altoona man is facing arson charges for allegedly lighting a house on fire by throwing a cigarette in a toilet. Emergency crews responded to a house fire. They spoke to a woman on the scene who told them that she was arguing with 38-year-old Michael Miller about his drinking habits. Police said the woman told them that Miller was trying to take their car, so she flushed a container full of gas down the toilet.
Oh, boy.
The woman said the gasoline that they used to start the car was kept in the house.
Why would you do that?
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
The gasoline that they use to start their car, they keep in their house.
And you want to start the car, just go in and get some gasoline.
I've never heard of anything like that before.
That would seem unsafe to me, as evidenced by your story here.
Or the fact that you just have gasoline to start your car, too. A woman
said... But you don't want it to run for too long.
Miller threw a lit cigarette into the toilet and then left the bathroom as the flames began to rise. The woman told police that she fled the house and called 911.
Do they keep the tires in the house as well and then attach them every time they want to drive?
Investigators were able to identify gasoline as the cause of the fire.
You know, you can leave those on.
Miller said that he didn't know that there was gasoline in the toilet.
God.
Threw in his cigarette.
There have been stories about methane gas accumulating in toilets.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyhow, Miller is being held in the county prison. At theme parks, you can see some attractions inspired by your favorite movies. And now, at Universal Studios Orlando, they have Guy Diamond, a troll from the Trolls animated movie that has a bare ass and farts glitter at guests.
I saw this.
God. I like
that. It's very cool.
Guy Diamond recently joined Trolls Branch and Poppy, who have been doing meet and greets at the park for a while now. Guy Diamond is the only one that isn't clothed, by the way, but he farts glitter. So if you're headed to Universal Studios.
I'm surprised they let that go through, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Universal is much more relaxed. In fact, I was at a stage show they did, and
one of the guys said the word damn or something like that, and he goes, hey, we're not Disney, gang. He literally said
that. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, to the crowd. It was pretty funny.
You think that's the one of the two parks I should...
By far.
Yeah. All right.
Disney's got the magic with your childhood and the animation and all that stuff. But if you want thrill rides and a lot of fun... And
farting dwarfs.
I'm telling you, farting dwarfs, you got to go to Universal Studios.
All right.
When you think of meats commonly used in pretty much anything, you likely don't think of squirrel. But now Chef Ivan Tisdale Downs at London restaurant Native says he's catering to customers in search of sustainable proteins. And he has made squirrel lasagna.
Oh, my God, that sounds horrible.
He says that he has a deal with his wild boar supplier to obtain a gray squirrel, obtain the gray squirrel carcasses.
I leave the heads on.
That otherwise would have gone to waste.
Squirrel!
He said the squirrel is tasty.
It is.
It's not as gamey as rabbit. It's a nice white meat. It's good to cook down slowly and make stews from and ragouts for lasagna.
How long before this guy is humming into a road cone?
I ate rabbit while we were in London.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh, that's
we went to the Punch Bowl.
That's right. Yeah.
Was it gamey?
Not at all. It was actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Did they leave the head on?
No, they didn't leave the head on.
I couldn't. They're just too cute.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't have to.
I won't.
You eat cat.
I don't eat cat. Knowingly.
Let's see. A millionaire was blasted over plans to carve his family's faces into a Scottish mountain in a bizarre Mount Rushmore-style tribute. The anonymous businessman allegedly contacted a luxury shopping website saying that he was willing to shell out about $15 million for the surprise for his loved ones. But the eccentric request was described as a ludicrous idea, as the site hushhush.com who revealed the request denied that it was a publicity stunt. Neil Reed of Mountaineering Scotland said it just sounds completely ridiculous. Total pie-in-the-sky stuff. It's a ludicrous idea. Even if he buys a hill, I can't see anything like that ever happening.
So if you were to buy a mountain in the United States, if you bought that, and you wanted to bore your likeness into the side of it, it'd be your property, you could do it, yes?
I guess you might have to go through...
An environmental thing? Or
yeah, I would imagine you'd have to get permission of some sort because of the construction that's going on. I don't know.
Well, you need permits for a lot of... I mean, even if you want to just, you know, tear up land in your own property...
Or put a deck on your house.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because you need to... So you need permits for that, so I would imagine you would have to go through a permit process to do anything on a mountain.
They're saying they're not going to do it. They're not going to. They're definitely not going to give them permission to do that.
All but right. I do wonder, though, Steve, with the clouds in the sky, if there is technology out there where you could actually start to project images on said clouds.
I think they've done sort of like laser stuff and sort of done that. I don't. Are you talking about like crystal clear images?
Well, or... advertising, you know, like buy more Ovaltine on a cloud of some sort. Maybe not like full-on like photorealistic pictures. But
I don't know. They do stuff in mist all the time now, right?
At Disney, they do.
Yeah.
There's a big show where they spray these giant mist things up in the air and then they
Fantastic. Project into
yeah,
it.
That's
yeah,
that's it. And, yep. and then they project those images onto it. That was pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
And there's a lot of fire in that one, too. So. What was it called? Fantasmic?
I think it's called Fantasmic. It's right next to the horror terror.
That's the Tower of
the Horror Hotel.
The Horror Terror Hotel.
Tower of Horrors.
All right. That's all I got in the bizarre file. Let's take a break and come back in a second, and we'll get to the lesson question and more when we return. So we'll be back in just a moment. So.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Let me see here. We need to do today's lesson question, and we are...
What happened?
I hit the button. My palm
on
the off button on my microphone.
It's like Infinity War. He just turned to dust.
Mr. Stark, I don't want to die.
I still want to do butthole.
My favorite part of the week was on Wednesday when he forgot what to do during news.
Oh, my God. Twice. Like, I didn't introduce you.
Just the music was just there, and I was like...
And then I forgot something else.
Would you like me to tell you the news?
Immediately after that.
Is he going to do what we've been doing for the past 15 years?
Yeah. All right, well, today's lesson question. We're giving away a $50 cash card from Sergeant Scrap, and the question I have for you is, which big box store did Kathy get her mammogram from? 215-263-WMMR, all right? And which big box store did Kathy get her mammogram
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you were listening. Let's see if you know the answer. And we will do the trash while we're waiting for you to call in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you this morning by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? What's going on, Steve?
Well, Jennifer Lawrence confirming that she's engaged to her boyfriend, Cook Maroney. Lawrence says it's always been a dream of hers to marry a leprechaun.
Oh, my God.
Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin revealing that the couple agreed to not have sex for 3 months before they got married. Now, while that seems impressive, they did do butt stuff.
Oh, hey!
And finally, though, they've only been together for 6 months. This is really wild. Hayden Panettiere is moving ahead with plans to marry Brian Hickerson, claiming he is the one. Hayden explained more fully, saying that Hickerson was the one she was looking at when she decided to make a terrible mistake. And that's your Hollywood trash.
Let's go to the phone, see if we can find an answer for this question. Which box store, big box store, did Kathy get her mammogram? And I'll try out Mike, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, Grandma.
Hey, yeah. Grandma.
Mike, what big box store did Kathy get her mammogram?
That would be Home Depot.
Mike, you got it right. Hang on a second, Mike.
Hi, Grandma.
Going to take care of you with a $50 cash card. Sergeant Scrap is the Delaware Valley's original mobile scrap metal service company. Don't get fooled by copycat scrap companies. Don't take your crap. Don't take crap for scrap.
Don't take your crap.
Don't take your crap for your scrap. You can visit sgt-scrap.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And it's brought to you by Godshall's. Eat lighter with Godshall's real meat, real wood, smoked turkey bacon with up to 80% less fat than pork bacon. Godshall's turkey bacon, except no imitations. We'll start with Shinedown. We were just talking about them earlier this morning, playing the MMRBQ. They released a new live music video for its anthemic single, Get Up, which we played earlier. And the clip consists of a collection of behind-the-scenes moments on tour and live footage from the road that gives an inside look at the effect that the song is having on both the band and its fans.
It's a good song.
It is a good song. I agree.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a departure for them, and I do like that sound. The chart-topping track has been streamed more than 27 million times and was inspired by frontman Brent Smith watching bassist Eric Bass deal with clinical depression. So that's the story behind that song, and there's a video out. Ozzy Osbourne's son Jack reported that his father is doing much better 3 days after he was hospitalized because of flu complications. Jack wrote on Instagram on Thursday, "Fresh cut, new glasses, sunny day, all is well. Now I'm off to see Dad. He's doing much better. Thanks for all your messages." So that's good news. Ozzy was admitted on Monday.
Brown hat, curly hair, smiley face.
Sharon said that doctors believe this is the best way to get him on a quicker road to recovery. Tony Iommi also sent out good wishes to Ozzy on Thursday, writing on Twitter, "I'm wishing Ozzy a speedy recovery. And I know he'll be gutted that he's had to cancel part of his tour, but I'm sure that he'll be back on stage as soon as he's able. Get better soon, my friends. Lots of love, Oz," and that's from Tony. So, Lamb of God guitarist Mark Morton said in an interview with Loudwire this week that late Linkin Park vocalist Chester Bennington was excited about singing on Something Heavy again when the two teamed up for a track on Morton's new solo LP. Bennington appears on the song Cross Off on Morton's upcoming solo album Anesthetic. Bennington worked on the song in late spring of 2017, just a few months before he hanged himself at his Los Angeles area home. Morton said, "I really didn't know Chester before we started doing this song. We had a real creative rhythm right away, and you can't really plan on that. You can't bet on it. You can't buy it, and you can't fake it. You either vibe with someone or you don't." He said he didn't have to be there. He didn't have to come to record the song with a guitar player from Lamb of God. He did it because he loved the tune and because he was excited about screaming again and being on something more metal, a little heavier. Anesthetic, by the way, is coming out March 1st. Other guests on that LP include Jacoby Shaddix, Miles Kennedy, Stone Sour drummer Roy Mayorga, and Korn drummer Ray Luzier. Mike Inez is on there, too. Let's see. And we'll do one more. Steve, you sent over a couple pieces of audio that have to do with music news.
Yes. I thought they'd interest you.
So Geddy Lee, I guess, was interviewed recently. I don't have who he was being interviewed by.
I think he was, I forget, but it was some music show on, I think, Sirius.
Okay. Asked about the status of Rush. And here's what he had to say.
Neil is retired. He hasn't just retired from Rush. He's retired from drumming. He's not drumming anymore, and he's living his life, which is fine. You know, Alex and I are cool with it. We're all still total pals, and we all talk. But, you know, that period of our life is done.
All right, and then asked about future projects. He said this.
Is there more music to come from myself and from Alex? Most certainly. I don't know when or what shape that will take. You know, I don't know if Alex and I will do something together, but people keep asking me and they want me to be definitive, and I can't be because I really haven't thought that far.
He did play a bit of a studio track that they're working on. You want to hear?
Yeah.
They come from space, so they don't come from here.
He can still hit those notes.
He does, but without Neil Peart, you're not getting that kinetic drumming that we're used to.
Who's playing keyboard?
Geddy. I think it's Geddy. Geddy does both.
Yeah, he plays keyboard as well.
They're not of this earth.
They're from outer space.
This is business. That's Geddy.
Oh. Yeah, he does it. Now, listen, I have no doubt that he and Alex will do something. It won't be Rush. It won't be with one other really great drummer. I have a feeling they'll write some stuff and then they'll bring in some musicians to fill in the parts.
Let me ask you, though. Yeah. What if they do hook up with a really great drummer? Mm-hmm. Do you think Neil Peart would be, jealousy or want to come back you've had this legacy with this band and you're considered one of the greatest rock drummers of all time, but there are people out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh God. Yeah.
There's Kathy. We know how good she can drum.
No, they're listen, Neil is amazing and he was groundbreaking, but there are people that can play circles around him. Yeah. I mean, as far as speed and technique and stuff like that, but what they wrote together.
Yeah.
So that's why you get that music, and that's why it is Rush, and that's why it would never be anybody else, because it would be different from what they did because they were collaborative on their music. So, but anyhow, I'm interested. If Geddy and Alex do something, I'm on board, man. I definitely want to hear it. And that's what I have in music news for you. We have one last break to take. We're going to do that very thing right now. We'll come back, and when we do, we give away a much-anticipated trip that hopefully you're going to win. We'll come back with that. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Do your worst. It's Rival Sons on 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. We are the Preston and Steve Show. It is about 10:33 on this Friday morning. I'm looking at our Instagram account at Kathy at her dance. What year was that, Kathy?
I think the top year was ninth grade and the bottom was 10th. I thought it was a little bit earlier, but I think it's 9th and 10th. But I was just laughing at all of the comments about my friend Pete's eyebrow.
Yes. It's impressive. Do you still know Pete?
I do, actually. I'm on a group.
Did he ever get his eyebrows trimmed?
Yeah, he gets his eyebrows trimmed now.
Okay.
I love your eyebrows.
No, but I texted him. I said,
"Remind me of two caterpillars, maybe."
Actually, one caterpillar. I said, do yourself a favor and read the comments. They're pretty good.
You look at the pictures of you in that time period, and I never got much better. All be blackmailed with those pictures.
Dude has pet caterpillar on his forehead. Yeah, there's several of them. I'll have to go through and read these. But yeah, he's
been a lifelong friend though, right?
He has. Yeah. Yes,
that's cool, man. Yeah, and there's a post of me in my my white tuxedo with Lori Seafried at the eighth grade formal.
You're funny. Let's go as friends.
No. Heartbreak. Friends.
Would you write an essay for me?
I may have gone to all of my dances with just friends. Yeah, I think I did. Or no, except for the one girl that was a senior and I was a junior. No, I was just using her for term
essays.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll bang you, but I better get a good grade.
I would like to thank Sam Morrell for being here this morning. Sam was great, man. He's at Helium Comedy Club tonight, 7:30 and 10. His Saturday shows are sold out. He does have a Sunday show at 7:30, so get those tickets if you want to laugh and have a good time. I guarantee that certainly will be the case. We have a cool prize to give away, and there's one man who holds the key that will unlock this treasure trove of goodness to you. And if he's ready, we'll do this letter.
Born ready.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter...
D as in you dirty dog.
All right, and we'll take caller number 4 at 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We want you to get on board. We want you to win this trip. We'll tell you everything about it when you get through, so give us a buzz. How are you on this fine Friday morning, sir?
It is Friday. Life is good.
Not good.
Yeah. All is well. All is well. I am flying the plane in glorious formations.
Of course you're flying the plane in glorious formations.
In fact, I think we have audio of him flying that plane.
Okay.
Here it is.
That's, oh, dude. This is...
This doesn't sound good.
That's actually... A little morbid, but that's that's that plane crash that happened earlier this week.
That's actually real?
Yes.
Why would you even play it, Pierre?
That's from a security footage from a house like a couple of blocks down, and you can hear that plane. It ended up crashing in a house. A few people were killed.
Killed four people.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah. But for comedy purposes.
Yeah, we figured we'd use it here.
Yeah, I would think you would maybe use instead, if you want to have me crashing, you would use me on the Cardboard Classic sled.
Oh, we played that earlier.
We were watching it.
Yeah. One of the great clips, though. I mean, you were... Yes,
I gladly give my brain for the Preston and Steve show, and any concussions I may have, I gladly offer those in service of the Preston and Steve program.
It was classic. And I believe that is what ended the double-decker slides.
You're right.
Yeah. From there on forth.
I think you can actually Google Pierre's crash at the Cardboard Classic, and the video will come up.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a few. There was one year where there was basically a 5-story building came down the structurally it starts to become unsound when you're
the first couple of years we had one Liberty Place
and that was it.
I remember those really tall buildings, and some of them made it down.
Now we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Well, you know, because of things like you being launched to your almost certain death.
Well, thank God Preston had a flask on him.
I did. I ran to the rescue. I was like a Saint Bernard.
You were my Saint Bernard. It was only one brain that I have to give for my country and my station and my morning show.
Speaking of that event, Marissa's got an appearance today. We're doing a Cardboard Classic pre-party from noon to 2. She will be at the Sprint store at 18th and Market. And she will have with her lift tickets, the new Cardboard Classic knit hats, and Sprint prize packs to give away every 15 minutes. And one person is going to win a VIP prize pack, and that's an overnight stay in the Poconos, a Dunkin' gift card. You get in our VIP area. You get to hang out in there. And some more. So stop by and see Marissa today at the Sprint store from noon to 2 at 18th and Market. You just might win, which is cool.
Jackie will be out at the Sprint store in New Jersey tomorrow. I don't know which one, but there's of all the Sprint stores in New Jersey, drive to every one, and you'll find Jackie
at one of them.
That same series of packages.
Ah, very good. Hey, speaking of winners, we were going to get our caller on the line and see if we could find that person. I will have Chris and see if Chris can get it. Hey, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Chris. Do you happen to know what the word of the week is?
G-R-I-N-D, grind.
Great. Day in the morning.
And that is it. Grind. Chris, nice job, man. I hope you like The Walking Dead.
Awesome.
We have a trip for two to the set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta.
Jeez.
You get 2 nights hotel, airfare from Philly to Atlanta, then ground transportation in Atlanta, and The Walking Dead prize pack and tickets to a party with the undead, my man. How about that?
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, hang on. We'll make sure that you are well taken care of, sir. Don't forget, friends, The Walking Dead returns, TV's number one show, with a terrifying new threat. It is this Sunday, the 10th, 9, 8 Central on AMC. You must be at least 18 years of age to enter. Well, we already got that taken care of. So congratulations to you, my man, and you are on your way. Should be pretty cool. What's up on the show today, Pierre?
More Nick Mason tickets for his Pink Floyd show, Saucer Full of Secrets, coming to the Met in April. A pair of tickets for that. And four more tickets for the Philly Home and Garden show next weekend at the Greater Philly Expo Center at Oaks. I've got Sublime with Rome tickets. That one on sale at 10 a.m. for the Man Skyline stage. That'll be July 9th. That'll be a cool show. I've got the wonderful player who joins Dave Matthews often by the name of Tim Reynolds, who, Nick, you're very familiar with.
Great guitar player.
Yeah. He and his band TR3 will be at the Ardmore Music Hall tomorrow.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool to see an artist of that caliber in that small of a space.
Yeah, yeah.
And doing what he does so well. And so we'll do a block of DMB, Dave Matthews Band, and a block of Lynyrd Skynyrd, their farewell show. Their final roundup, or whatever they're calling it, the Hoochie Coo, will be at the Camden location, whatever, BLT Center, at August 30th.
This BLT. Weekend only, the Hoochie Coo at the BLT Center.
Thank you. I am a master a wealth of all information. Details. And that went on sale this morning, so we'll have a block of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and that'll be fun.
I'm sure
you'll reiterate the information.
I'll get it right when I come around to it next time.
All right, I got to thank our sponsors, and happy to do so. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas, JFBB, where the snow comes first, and French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors. French Creek Outfitters, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Next week on our program, comedian Sid Wilder will be in the studio. Comedian Drew Lynch will be in the studio. And according to Casey's note, one of these three people will be joining us next week the studio. Chris Hemsworth, Pope Francis, or comedian Dan Cummings.
Wow.
One of those three will be joining us
next
week.
Thinking the Pope.
Thinking so. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great weekend. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.